Okay, so now we should have four.
Okay.
Can we do a quick count?
Is so much better AC than
so much like, and I can hear you guys see.
Okay, so once Drunk calls the meeting order, we don't have anything on the agenda. I'm going to start by moving to take resolutions 50, 51, and 52 off the table. We'll put them on the agenda. And by 23,
okay.
The agenda's blank.
I agree. No, because I
were there any seniors that weren't here yesterday? Did any seniors not get their shot glasses?
All right, we're going to start. Dale, can you post roll call? So we have no clerk.
Can you give me 1 minute?
Yep. We'll start in 1 minute at 5.
Maroon.
Yeah.
The bike share resolution. Can we call that resolution 53 for all intents and purposes?
Yeah.
Can you get it in the box eventually?
Eventually.
What's your number? Okay, the bike share resolution will be resolution 54. ISU special project fund.
Karen, where would you like me? At your service.
Right there.
All right.
Oh, right here, bring your shirt. I shouldn't just.
Are you sitting there or you want to stand?
No, I'll stand.
All right. Here, I'll use this to count votes. I wore my contacts for great today. Mm.
Mm. Is
Mike here first? Yeah. Is Ian, is Aaron here?
I am here. Ball.
Sorry?
Ball? Are you ball?
So...
No, I didn't like start yet, you know?
Oh, sorry.
All right, it's 5 p.m. We're ready for the last meeting of 2017-2018 academic year meeting. Woo!
Oh.
Microphone? Yeah. We're not. You didn't open it. I didn't call the meeting yet. I didn't call the meeting yet. Oh, really? Okay, well, too bad. So, all right, so let's start with the roll call. Dale's going to help us.
Barbaria, here. Ball, not here. Tabitha.
Here.
Din.
Nope.
Dominguez.
Yeah.
Agarimba.
Here.
Kaufman.
Here.
Kim.
Here.
It is so warm outside.
You're wearing a long sleeve.
I'm wearing a what? You're wearing a sweater.
It is. Beta.
Eternity. Recline.
Can we start this
for now?
Dale, where are we?
Hold on. Scrap everything I just said.
Yeah.
Sorry.
For now, it goes the way of Michigan.
Actually, I just had 7 drinks.
Oh my gosh.
If I have 7 drinks, my face will be red.
Watch me maintain perfect form in this meeting.
You got this.
Okay, starting over. Ball is not here. I am here. Shot break. Horn. Cornell. Tabitha.
Yep.
Dean. Dominguez. Agarimba. Engelson. Son. Hernandez. Hers. Hindeman, Monty, Kaufman,
here.
Kim,
Yeah.
Lynn. Lipschitz. Siakarou.
Here.
Park. Park of Architecture and Plan.
Yep.
Park of Women's Liaison.
Oh.
Peralta Choa. Shop.
Here.
Fira.
Here.
Tim. Here. Valadez.
Here.
Wallace. You're 15 numbers present.
Holy cow.
Thank you. Enough?
Yeah,
like right on this.
What's 2/3 of the assembly? So does anything need to be passed by 2/3 of the assembly?
Yeah,
yeah. Awesome. All right, so I'll open microphone.
Yep. If there's, guys, there's nothing on the agenda.
That's fine. We'll get there. We'll get
no,
there. Excuse
no,
me.
There's no open microphone.
Well, I want there to be.
Well,
so.
You've got emotionally emotional.
So,
oh my gosh. Jenny the sad.
Are there any members of the community here that would like to speak? Are you sure? This is your time.
It's like you.
Okay. All right. Without me closing up the microphone.
Thank you. All right, so we have an agenda.
I move to amend the agenda to include resolutions 50, 51, 52, 53, which will be the ISU special project funding, and 54, which will be the bike share resolution, with resolution 50 as the final on the agenda.
Okay. If there are no objections, we will have it that way. So we will start with resolution 51. Who's a sponsor? Let's go, Chris.
We moved the business of the day. They're already
except for the ice.
Thank you. So I think it's a very reasonable material.
Chris, come up.
Yeah. Okay, so basically this resolution calls for Cornell to establish a 4.0 GPA scale and also to review the manner in which A-pluses are given in classes. So right now, there are certain professors, certain classes that give out A-pluses, others that do not, which creates inherent inequality because for certain majors, you just have to take there's a very large number of required classes. Oftentimes, some of those required classes are good A-pluses, and so you end up with a worse GPA than somebody in maybe another major, even in your major, who have to take classes that do get A-pluses, even though your academic performance is the same. Maybe your academic performance is even worse, so just because the class happens to get A-pluses. And some of your classes do end up with a better GPA, which is not an accurate reflection of your academic performance, which I think is really unfortunate. This resolution is like a first step in the way of establishing, making Cornell establish a 4.0 GPA scale. Other universities, such as Princeton, and Rice have moved towards that in recent years. The reason why it makes sense is because the employers are sort of confused if they're not familiar with Cornell because they see a 4.3 GPA, and 3.7 looks really different on a 4.3 GPA instead of a 4.0. If you're not familiar with that, a lot of classes that Cornell don't do it, it's possible to do so. It makes two seconds of course worse than it actually is. So that's just really reason for the resolution. In entirety, it's not horribly complicated, and it also wants to add anything to the
So, is there a dissent? Dissent?
Yeah. Do we want to talk about it at all?
Do you want to talk about it, guys? You maintain your motion. All right, then we will vote to vote. All those in favor voting. Zach.
Right. All right. We got one. Oh, wait, sorry. We got push 1, 2, 3. Is it Gabe, are you motioning now? Okay. 4, 5, 6. Wait, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
All against?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4. We have 9 and 15, then 4 against, and
abstentions?
It's you, Travis.
So Travis doesn't count.
Wait, here.
So yeah. 9 to 4 to 1. We missed.
I mean, people obviously didn't vote on this.
One person didn't vote.
Right.
So please vote.
No, just count it as an abstention. Like.
All right, so that's an abstention then. 9, 4 to 2.
Mm-hmm.
And we have 15 members present.
Right.
That's exactly
so. Yeah, that
we'll
passed.
So we'll vote then.
Right.
No, you can't do that. All those in favor of
Dave, the vote's been conducted.
So that's not touching. Yeah, so all those in favor. That's an abstention. We restarted the vote.
Nope. Can you count? Well, wait. Did he break the quorum? So we can't, Dale, we can't vote, right?
He didn't break the quorum.
Well. All right. All right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Is that right? 12?
Yeah. All those against.
Oh, wait. Yeah, we only 15, so.
All those against.
Oh, wait. We got 1, 2, and
wait,
then.
Wait, also, did you?
No.
Yeah, no. Wait.
Well, I'm asking for against.
I see. Are you 4?
4.
Okay, put that down. So we have 1, 2, and Jung, that's 15. That's quorum. I counted right.
All
right,
thank all right. you. Go up 2-1, it passes. Thank you, Chris. Thank you. Yeah, I was just saying, yeah. No, what do you think? Next is Resolution 52. That's you?
Busy day. Oh,
John, I got my counting right. How about that?
Yes, man. Oh, you're on point, man.
Hello, you guys. Hello. Down the front. Come on now. Stay. Resolution 52 is that request that Cornell currently tries to get an MCAT testing site in the Ithaca area. Currently, there's a trend amongst MCAT testing facilities that are moving away from college campuses. And so right now, the closest ones are either in Syracuse or Binghamton. And this doesn't really allow a lot of Cornellians, if they're college students, or even students at Tompkins Courtney Community College, students in the neighboring area, SUNY Cortland as well, to be able to take the MCAT exam in like a nearby location. And so this is just a request that Cornell actually starts to take efforts and initiatives to actually find a testing site in the Ithaca area to decrease those costs, allow more students to be able to take the test in a more accessible location.
Second. Your dissent?
There needs to be at least some
discussion. Oh, maintain your motion? All right, so. Do you maintain your motion to vote?
Yes.
All right, then we'll vote to vote. All those in favor of voting. This is the last meeting. This is the last meeting. We have plenty of time, so we should really discuss this. Okay, well, anyways, okay, so all those in favor of voting.
Yeah, just keep them up.
Keep it up. All right,
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Wait, no, okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah, we're good.
All those against? Osai.
It passes. There's 10.
Oh, it's okay. So we're going to vote. So all those in favor of voting. No, all those in favor of this resolution.
Yes. All right. Keep them up. All right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
Right. All those against? Abstentions?
Yeah, Varun.
Love you, Travis.
Varun right. Abstains.
All right, by 13-0-2-2, the resolution has been passed regardless of the process.
Look at that. Two in a row.
All right, next is 53. This is, yes.
This
is ICU. No, come up here.
Yeah, come up here. I'm moving to have Dave read the resolution during the presentation.
It's like 10 lines.
Most people haven't actually.
It's like the most beautiful 10 lines we've ever written.
So Dave, will you just do it?
Read resolution 44.
I also asked Dave read that in a normal voice.
Approving special projects requests.
Approving special projects request for international students union. Abstract. This resolution approves the $1,800 of special projects funding for the international students union, sponsored by Dave Kaufman. 18. Whereas according to the Student Assembly Standing Rules, special project requests of $1,500 and over shall be decided upon by a majority vote of the Appropriations Committee and confirmed by a majority vote of the Student Assembly at large. The SA at large is only required to confirm requests of $1,500 or greater. The request should be presented to the Student Assembly in the form of a resolution. Whereas the Appropriations Committee, by a majority vote, decided to grant ISU $1,800 for shuttle bus, and whereas this bus is open to the campus community and benefits a substantial number of Cornell students, be it therefore resolved, the Student Assembly approves this special project disbursement. Be it finally resolved, the Student Assembly encourages all new students to utilize the service. Respectfully submitted, Gabe Kaufman, 18, Vice President for Finance, Student Assembly. Reviewed by Appropriations Committee. Oh, crap.
Sweet.
Yeah, wait, let's amend this.
Oh, my God. All right, so do you withdraw your motion to vote?
It was
who motioned to vote?
I motioned to strike the vote count for Appropriations Committee on line 28.
For a second?
It's in my bag. You really need me. I promise you it passed.
I promise you.
Can we restart, please?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. In May 1st, 5, yeah.
13 day.
But nope.
Yep.
Nope. April.
30th?
4. There are 30 days in April.
There's 30 days in
April, June, and November.
Yeah, so, cool. Yeah, okay. So
motion to amend line 28 to be reviewed by Appropriations Committee, 4/30/2018.
All those in favor?
One, two.
Okay.
Oh, come on. Okay. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine.
I think it's
10. Chris, are you voting for or against? Okay. Wait. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
Okay. All those against?
Just
abstentions?
Chris is abstaining.
13, 0 to 2. The amendment has been adopted.
All right.
So, So we do have a one person wants to speak. We have like one person on the speakers list. I still have two. All right, Dan?
Okay.
It's our shuttle bus.
So can I motion to amend that?
I don't
have to do that.
Don't
I'll do it. Don't worry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Travis.
Oh, this is about how great.
All right. So is there a motion to vote?
No. I have something. To
oh, okay. Yeah,
So I went to ABSCOM this week, and besides them voting for this resolution and working on Appendix B, they also gave to the Cornell Lending Library $1,499, and Gabe will get an addition on it. And this money will now be used to have a travel grant that is going to be processed through the Cornell Lending Library to allow students from having to take an off-campus pre-professional exam, whether that's LSAT, MCAT, PCAT, or any other pre-professional exam, that they can apply to this fund and get some type of financial sponsorship so that it's easier to make it more accessible to them. So thank you guys for allowing Gabe and ABSCOM, members of Academic Policy Committee, help with this, as well as the resolution that they put forth. And I think this really will benefit a lot of students so that they can further their career beyond Cornell campus. So thank you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time for the word, Travis.
All right,
I motion to vote.
All those in favor?
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, 9, 10, 11, 12, 14. They all voted for it.
Chris,
he abstained. Sorry, I didn't see his hand. It's 13.
All those against? Abstentions 13, 0 to 2, it passes.
All right.
Thank you. All right, next is resolution 54.
I have just reading
Mike's here?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Is Alfie here?
Yep.
Oh, hi. Yeah, welcome. You can just tell me that.
Here we go.
Hello, everyone. So glad to join Oakley's for the app.
Maybe just like introduce yourself and then get
the cool. Hi, I'm Alfie. I'm the digital literature chair for the which is a student group working on transcripts on campus. We also are heavily involved in the bike share. So this resolution is basically really, really preliminary, that's just preparing for the current bike share system, which is operating on campus and in UI. So basically right now, some of you might have seen it, some of you might have not. There are like 5 bike share stations running from on campus, which people can check out. We are no longer continuing with that service. That was a pilot that lasted for a year, partly because we don't have funding for the current service, but also because of that feedback that people wanted a bike share service that had more locations, that was able to be taken off campus and stuff like that. So the city of Ithaca in the last 2 weeks has launched a new bike share service with LimeBike. And so that is a dockless system where you can check it out on your phone and you can take a boat, you can take it anywhere and leave it as long as it's parked correctly in a bike path or somewhere like that. So basically all this resolution is calling for is just for the university to like assess LimeBike's progress and just consider implementing it on campus if that seems appropriate. Because right now, we just received a little bit of resistance because dockless system is a really new type thing, and there are concerns that there isn't enough student buy-in to really make sure that bikes are parked correctly. And that's really something that we are also concerned about. And so with this thing being rolled out at Ithaca, we're partly concerned because while since Cornell doesn't have a contract, it means that LimeBike can't distribute bikes on campus, but doesn't stop individual users from bringing bikes onto campus. So we want to make sure that we have the ability to engage in a public education program that will teach people both how to park bikes correctly, how to ride them correctly on campus, and stuff like that. And then, so that's part of this resolution. And then the other part is just encouraging the campus to consider the possibility of embracing this on campus in order to continue bike share service once the current pilot has been approved.
Yeah, so we do have some questions, Ruben.
Yeah, so what is the cost for students to sign up?
Yeah, so it's by the hour, and for students or anybody who got EDU email address, it's 50 cents per hour. And for anybody who doesn't have that, EDU email address, it's $1.
And then John, the second thing was, all this is provided by the company, so you don't have to
No, it all works so that the bikes are both owned and maintained by LimeBike, and they also hold all, they have a multi-million dollar insurance policy, and they hold any liability if the bikes go on this insurance.
And then when it comes to things like advertising, that's not like,
yeah, I mean, that definitely is like part of what we're hoping that the university will engage in assessing. But one thing that we're hoping is that once the Zagger bike share ends, all of those racks are still going to remain, and so we're hoping that that be a parking location, as well as we're hoping that they can maybe even convert some current parking spots into parking.
Okay, and then I guess a question more for the assembly. When it comes to this, I think the resolution, the second clause, the second to be the result clause, separate clause, but yeah. So the second one says, the student assembly will assist with that bike since the beginning. The public education community is planning to assist in order to be certified by no campus. I'm wondering why you perceive our role to be in that, because I don't want us to connect with something where like people aren't going to do it. Like that's like the worst thing that the SA itself can do. Just promise that. So first, like, what are you looking for? And then, like, I guess relevant to like people who are in the things and share the things. Would you see yourself being able to hold yourself?
Thank you. I appreciate that question. So in talking with Ian, we were just talking about the fact that there are some committees under which something like this would probably be a responsibility. But definitely, I mean, like, as far as I'm expecting, bigger bikes as an organization is definitely going to be really invested in developing all of the materials. So we're not really asking for any, like, creation of a program, but we're asking for, if anybody is interested in being involved, definitely we would really encourage that. But mostly what we're asking is just that you know, as a group that has a lot of different issues on campus, that like a lot of communities could like help us just kind of push out that information. I guess on our own, we can only reach so many people. So really, it's more of we're asking more for help with distribution, maybe through the communication and the distribution committee.
Okay. Grace?
Oh, great question. So LimeBank actually operates for free. It's through a licensing contract. So the university, as well as right now, wants to launch from City of Ithaca. The City of Ithaca isn't paying LimeBank any money, and Cornell wouldn't have to pay LimeBank any money, which is one reason that we're really hoping that they'll go with this program. So it really just operates, whereas like the entire user fee goes to LimeBank, but the university itself or the municipality itself doesn't actually have to pay any money to LimeBank. it could, but we definitely would hope to like, we're just more hoping to like help with like the education and stuff like that, but the actual like contracts definitely wouldn't involve us. It would involve like Cornell Transportation Services and the Cornell Planning Office.
This is Adam.
Yeah, exactly. Although we also have a really close relationship with transportation services, where like right now I'm also interning for transportation services. So it's kind of like we both, like we are an advocacy group, but we also have access to people on campus who are.
Okay, so I had
a
question on the podcast. So if there's an advocacy group, I might want to hear from students, but would it be an advocacy group? So we kind of
Oh yeah, absolutely. So for both thing is, well, first of all, distribution is really important. Like that's a pretty big cause because right now it's like, even just in the last week, I mean, I just had to track it on my phone and like there have been so far just a couple bikes randomly around on campus, but really in order to speak to school to Cornell students, like there would need to be way more than that on campus. And so partly we're hoping that like a contract is both just like help increase access. But beyond that, like the really big thing is that if Cornell is in a contract with LimeBike, which I think is kind of specified, and I think the first clause, that it would really mean that like Cornell would have a lot of say, first of all, in how fast LimeBike has to respond to issues. So there's that clause, whether it's like 24 hours, 12 hours, as well as like they would have an end clause where like there is a lot of leverage because like LimeBike definitely interested in being on campus, and so they would have oversight over like the regulations of like where bikes are allowed to be and
so they won't
Next is Evan. Travis? You raise your hand, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Zach?
Let him go. Let's not stay.
Transportation service? No.
I'm sorry.
Thank you very much. Just for the assembly's knowledge, could you maybe just briefly describe the dockless biking service? So are bikes left just in random places on campus? Are there biking zones? Is it similar to a bike rack? Like, what does that look like for someone who doesn't understand dockless biking?
Yeah, great question. So this is, definitely something that we're hoping that we'd be able to distribute. So the way the dockless basically works is the bike itself has like a lock on it that locks the back wheel, and you can either use your phone to text if you don't have a smartphone, or you have a smartphone, you can use the app, and it'll give you a code to input. Yeah. If you have a smartphone, it's like it's kind of cool. You press a button, and then it just unlocks, like immediately, and it's cool. And so from there, you can then like ride it wherever you want, and then you lock it again. And it's basically like you just are allowed to leave it wherever you leave a normal bike. It's the big thing. So like at a bike rack, mostly, or especially some fees, you can just leave because you can lock the wheel without locking it to something. We're also hoping that we'd be able to create kind of like how, I don't know if you guys know behind the library, there are a few places that used to be parking spots for kind of motorcycle parking. We're kind of looking at something like that, where it could be kind of like even with a strip of concrete, that would be really clearly designated somehow, maybe with like rather code tape, or you could leave them within there. So mostly we're hoping we'd be able to use existing infrastructure, but we're also hoping that this could be kind of a catalyst to increase.
Okay.
So my question is, so Dime Bike, so if it wants an institutional commitment from Cornell, but Cornell's not promising it any money, then like, why do they care? Like, why do they care?
So it operates through Cornell vendor licensing program. So basically, since they are an organization distributed from on campus, it means that Cornell has the right to regulate that through their vendor licensing, since it's private land. So that's basically how it works. In that, like, if Cornell didn't have a contract and Linebike was to distribute them, like, first of all, like, it really would help design, and also Cornell would have the ability to distribute them.
Chris?
I have two questions. One is, I think I understand the model. Maybe one was there, and I probably found out that the head of the
The way that that works is that Linebike, as part of their operating model, we distribute bikes pretty regularly. So they actually like monitor where the bikes are and we'll move them back to certain zones. And so hopefully we can also have some say in areas on campus that we can do those frequent uses and we can make sure those kind of bikes are happening.
Great.
Yeah, well, Linebike is already in Ithaca. They launched 2 weeks ago. It's actually kind of cool. If you want to go to town and check it out, it's pretty fun. You can get $33 if you just launch and so, but in terms of seasonal variability, they would remove the bikes to the winter, partly just because it's damaged the bike and also because you don't want to encourage people to bike when the roads are right. So, similar to the way the disaster worked this year, we capture bikes in storage from approximately December to March.
Chris? Yeah, great.
So I'm just wondering, like, what are your
So the big thing is we just really want to communicate to transportation services and campus planning office that this is something that just we think is a relatively good idea. Because right now, and that's really like all that this resolution is, it's just kind of because they're not totally convinced and they're kind of concerned about whether or not students will need bikes just like in place they're not supposed to be. And so really just by passing this resolution already helps us out by just kind of showing that at least another group of people think that this is a good idea. And so following up after that, like, we definitely will hope to stay in contact with either the infrastructure committee or the communication committee once you have sort of public education plan created, but besides that, really just passing it is already helpful.
I'm sponsoring the resolution. Alvin has been in contact for a while. Bigger Bikes submitted two projects earlier. Like, we've been in contact with Bigger Bikes a lot this year. And I'm in contact with the campus office that we have sense for us to work together. And then I see, like, the BK external and communication. Potentially, like, just publicizing this, providing some, like, external education.
Just got to show up support, right?
Yeah, show up support. Exactly.
So there's been a motion to vote. There's been a second. All those in favor? No, this is to pass the resolution.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
Minus one. Did someone? Yeah, 14. Okay. All those against? Is this sense of audio? Yeah, it is. But we have nothing. Abstentions? That's right.
Yeah.
Abstentions? No? Okay. So, and then we get two community votes. So, members of the community. If you guys, so a majority.
I vote in favor.
Okay, well, let me finish. So, just explain, community members could vote. The majority of how the community votes, two votes will be added to that decision, yes, no, or abstain. So with that, all those in favor? Yes, you can vote too. You can vote. All right, so that's three.
Come on, all those again.
So, 1, 2, 3. Okay,
1, 2, 3, 4.
How are you voting? No?
Sorry, count so, 3.
4. That's
well,
4.
Well,
as the chair of the community vote.
There's no chair of the community. All those against? Abstentions? Okay, then that's 17-0-2-1 to pass it. Congrats. All right, now we're going to resolution 50. Yes. Yeah, no, yeah, take 2 minutes to read. And Travis can explain after 2 minutes.
Okay.
No, I'm ready. Well, Alfie, feel free to take some, like, pizza or breadsticks or bread rolls.
Good thing you're not starving the community.
Hey, what? Oh, yeah, yeah.
What?
Am I the only one? What?
John.
I'm the only one that games.
Probably are, yes. That's embarrassing. It's
okay. All right, you know?
It's a good day. It is a beautiful day.
And I'm still hungry.
Yeah, I'm a hungry person.
All right, I'm going to give you guys 1 more minute, and then Travis can go over it 1 more time. What? All right, 5 more minutes.
The more you guys agree.
Well, Travis can walk through everything, right? So, Travis, can you walk us through every, like, changes?
Okay. Yeah.
All right. And you guys can follow along.
All right. So, well, the first page, just on the table of contents, is just a reference to Article 2, adding in how the direct election of President and EVP would. Dale has referenced, like, this was previously in the, like, previously in the election rules and abides by the charter. And this is just for further clarification and, like, commitment to that process. So it's the same process every single year.
Motion to amend line 202 to add a T before HT.
Ask for unanimous consent.
All right. All those in favor?
No, ask for unanimous consent. Ask
all right. Yes, so the motion to amend was, which line was it?
302.
So on line 302, we will add a T in front of the HE, so it reads the, not he. So we'll do this by unanimous consent. Is there any dissent? No, then we will do so.
All right.
And then just the other table of contents changes. We removed the finality clause because of the amended, like, JCC portion as well. And we'll walk through that shortly. So the beginning part of the election guidelines is mostly the same. The first point of clarification we made was in reference to part 5 under promotional materials. This is where we specify the 2 different sections. The first section is reference to all promotional materials provided to candidates. And then the second section now is in reference to specifically printed promotional materials provided by the Office of Assembly. So, like, just like basic, like, syntax is, like, generally, like, there's a general clause and then it gets more specified. That's really what it is there.
I guess, like, point of procedure or whatever, how do you want to go about this? Like, I think it might be beneficial if, like, as, like, assembly, you look at a section and then you discuss that section.
Yeah, agreed.
On to the next one.
Yeah.
So, like, when there's, like, a big case like this, that
no, yeah.
Wait, we have some other placards up, John. Do you want to call on?
Speaker. I guess a speaker's list to this section. Yeah. I saw.
Well, I'm picking.
I pick.
No, I pick. So, Dan, you go first.
I need words. Oh.
Then?
Okay, so Article 1, Section 5, promotional materials, the new section that you added, can you even make that more specific without saying how to do it? So if not,
I
So I think that was on purpose because there's so many different like scenarios that that could happen. That at a certain extent, you need the elections committee to like have authority.
And as well as that line specifically is in reference to the idea that new technology is always coming out. People may find different ways, such as we had a member of the community try to approach the assembly saying like people could take their quarter cards and then it would be access to this website. And there's different means of advertising, and it's that the elections committee during that time, if the election rules haven't been properly updated to take into account the advertising method, that they can identify this as the service of that. And that's just by saying their interpretation. Yeah.
Next is Gabe.
Keep on next.
I'm the
So I think under promotional material, that is probably what we're gonna have to
do. Really?
Yeah. Well, because a candidate is almost disqualified. So okay. Yeah. Not really.
You overruled it. Do you forget?
I can't.
Do you remember the resolution?
Yeah, 44. Okay. So the way this reads, it says the definition of a promotional material is up to the interpretation of the elections committee. And then it says, here's what promotional materials can be. So both of those things can't be the case.
No, so it's more specific. Promotional materials provided by the Office of Assemblies.
Okay, so then what are the rules regarding digital promotion?
So that'll be up to the
elections
committee. So that's So, okay.
Please state another form that promotional materials can be in besides printed or digital.
Can I make a suggestion?
Well, I mean, you have to pretend to put me on.
No, because that's the idea that it may change, and somebody may say, for instance, the idea that, I guess, like, something popped in my head, like a meme or something, right? A meme is a digital form. Is a digital form of promotion, right? But under these election rules, like, just... Like, somebody may not feel that is, but if it's, like, furthering somebody's candidacy and the elections committee feels that way because there are different means, that would be included under that.
Okay. So
I would be more inclined to just to say, okay.
Why not? Okay.
I would say, like, I think, like, the reason specifically why you need the interpretation of the elections committee is, like I said, to be able to, like, adjust with the times as well. Also, just for instance, like, I know we love to reference Matt Henderson, but I can reference him as well. There was an incident in the past where there was a blow horn brought to campus in Hill Plaza, where they were yelling, saying, vote this candidate, right? That's not necessarily printed or digital, but it's furthering someone's campaign, and under that promotional material, the elections committee could reference that.
Was that promotional material, or was that a violation of the campus
funding? Both.
They
didn't file it under Vicker, but it can be a promotional material. And that's why we have the interpretation by the election committee.
So, Gabe?
Yeah. So a blow horn is not promotional material. So, like, might okay. be campaign activity, but, like, it's clearly not promotional material. I, like, think that it should be treated completely separately in the rules. I don't know why we're trying to define, like, everything relating to campaign activity is promotional material, because that's just not, like, that's just not true. So back to like what I was saying. So promotional materials like it says promotional materials can be digital or printed, and then it explains the rules regarding the printed promotion
by the office.
So where are the rules regarding digital promotion materials?
That no. There are other materials such as digital or printed that may be provided by candidates. That's what we allocate them.
So what are the rules regarding them? There aren't any?
No, there are more. So the rules regarding promotional materials, they're different, but it's more broad in terms of just the lines that are referenced to above. Right there, it says candidates' promotional materials must include the date and time of the election and be in compliance with the election's guidelines.
Oh, right. So then digital promotional materials are covered specifically under everything that isn't covered under the section that you listed.
That are not provided by the office.
So I feel like that is not where we would want. Like, what I would prefer to do is basically strike, like, section, like take what we currently have as section 5 promotional materials and strike that and just be like printed promotional materials provided by the office of the assembly. And then give these rules to it. And then have another section, called section 6, that says digital promotional materials.
That's
digital promotional materials.
So we do have a point of privilege. But Debbie. Yeah. We will do quorum. I think Natalia's coming though.
She should be.
When is she coming? Can someone ask how long she'll take? Can she proxy vote?
Well, wait.
No, even if we have not, when we have quorum, because Lala is coming. Oh, she could be on the phone. But can you like
be on the phone? Phone. We can
call. Okay, she can send me a proxy vote. Then, can you just mail it to me?
Mail?
Yeah, it's
mail. Email.
Email. Yeah, email. Email. When I say mail, I mean email.
You just forgot the e, guys.
Yes.
Technology.
Yeah, so that's my
point.
Second.
Is there a dissent? Oh, okay, yeah, sure. Dale.
So, part of the confusion here is never the weather that causes folks to apply to us. I think it's absurd and they can all have to take the time to be elected to all of their votes for the journalists. It's really absurd if you don't get it from that. That means that if there's any candidate for the House that doesn't want to take the time to election, they can be what they can call for.
Yeah.
That's their concept. And also, you don't even supposed to say no for no will go, because it's part of the election rule that you have to have all the votes for the party. But you can decide on this area to have to search for the year.
Dan?
Yeah, but the thing about the no point else in here, though, is that in Texas, if you can get positions, you can get
next is Adam.
Yeah, I don't think you stand solid.
I understand that the kind of that you know a governing body is doing use discretion to make decisions for a community. That makes sense, but I think it would help to define a little bit more clearly in this governing document what a promotion material is. Not necessarily its physical aspects, but its conceptual aspects, like you know, is it associated with the candidate directly? Is something that someone places independent of the candidate promotional material? Anything things like that could really helpful.
Well, we do have a part where it does reference like anything like supporters acting on your behalf. So that part is covered. So like if somebody is submitting something on your behalf promoting your candidacy, like that would be covered under the rules, under a different subsection. But I really think that also comes into play by saying like the idea that the definition of promotional materials can be up to the interpretation of the elections committee, because that does allow them to have that say.
What a personal privilege do we need like a bug?
Well, we don't. Yeah, like, why not?
Well, it just makes it like it's like very.
Can you just speak like this? Like, don't speak too close to it.
Oh.
We do need it for the recording.
Okay. I'll start using that.
Well, I mean, like, it's okay. I'll repeat stuff and stuff.
Yeah. So I just want to speak in favor of Dale's amendment.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah.
No. It's yeah. So Bruin was next. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, I just want to speak in favor of Dale's amendment. Dale's amendment is exactly what I was getting at, which is if we want to set guidelines for just the printed promotional materials provided by the Office of the Assemblies, then that should be its own section. And then we should have another section that says other promotional materials, such as, and then list the following sorts of things that promotional materials would be, are subject to being in compliance with the election guidelines. Like, that's what we would say. Like, that would be the right way to do it, so that you clearly differentiate that. But I think that, like, the way these rules are written, it's just, like, not, it's not, it's a clarity problem, not a substance problem. Like, that's really all.
Okay. That's
so I move to vote on Dale's amendment.
Second. Any dissent?
No.
Not then. All those in favor?
Four, five, six, seven, 11. C11.
Oh wait, we can't. Can we vote on amendments without quorum?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no, she's still here. Never mind.
I see 11 out. I see 11 out there. That passes. That passes. Wait,
that passes. So,
no,
so.
Myra. You don't have a quorum.
Oh,
sorry.
Where is Myra? Mm-hmm. All right, then I'm going to go back to the original speakers list for the actual resolution, okay?
Oh, no, I think we're done with promotional section. Is
Myra? That's what I'm saying.
Is her stuff here?
Her what friends?
That is a key indicator.
What's a truffle friend?
Fry.
Oh, fries. This is friends. Okay.
Motion.
Yes.
So I'm motioning to like I guess step away from the rules for a second, but essentially just like move the discussion to something else. Come back, vote on this, but just because there's no point in discussing this when we've like gotten to the point where we're gonna. All right, Myra's here.
So all right, all those in favor of the amendment.
All right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Is this a vote in favor?
Right, Ian,
6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
All those against?
We have a 1.
Abstentions?
Oh, sorry.
13.
It's 12-1-2. That's it.
12-1-2. The amendment has been adopted. So we'll go back into the speakers list. On the actual resolution. Next.
I moved to amend that section one more time. I just want to say candidates' digital and printed promotional materials must be in compliance with the election guidelines. With the election.
Second. Okay. Does anyone want to be on the speaker's list?
Dissent.
State your dissent. Wait, we can't. We're not.
Dissent.
So I'll just put you on the speaker's
list. Okay.
All right, sure.
Just like I think like Gabe's methodology is more appropriate. I think it's confusing if we put it under the same section. I think we should just make that section 6.
Isn't that what Dale's saying? Or no,
by using.
Oh, he's okay.
So I guess like motion to amend the amendment to create section 6 under which that language would fit.
Why don't you just create a new amendment? Dale, can you just take it back?
I would draw the amendment.
All right, and Varun, you motion to make that amendment?
Yeah.
Can you repeat that?
So can you repeat it?
Yeah.
So Dale, make the amendment.
I move to add a section. Okay.
Guys.
I move to amend so that section 5 becomes printed materials provided by the Office of the Assembly. Get rid of the promotional materials header and add section 6. Digital and printed promotional materials made by candidates.
Yeah.
And the content in section 6 will be candidates' digital and printed promotional materials must be in compliance with these election rules.
Okay.
Second.
Dan. Yeah, no, we're not voting right now. This is discussion. So, Dan.
I think it should be more specific. I think there should be specific information saying all the things that no group. Even if it means copy and pasting the exact thing that's under there, changing a little bit of it, like I think that would be just make sense. Well, I mean, like, change what you need to change, not that.
Well, some of these are, like, very specific.
Yeah, like, get rid of stuff that doesn't apply. It's like 90% of it. Write something more specific, is what I'm saying.
But like what though?
So
like,
you need to. So if you want, a motion to change something, you have to have the actual language.
Okay.
So Pam. That makes sense.
From our perspective,
I would draw the amendment. If somebody has better language for a section later in the meeting, I think it should
be added. Dave, do you have one?
Yeah.
So I think that the problem with doing it like that is that there's a substantive difference between like paper printed by a university office that is like given to like that like it's like official university paper, whereas like something you post online is something that you post as like a private person. So I feel like the rules like reasonably can be different.
I think, Pam, you're just saying that there should be no distinction between the printed materials by the office versus printed materials by individual.
I'm not saying either way. I'm just saying that you may want to consider, because the rule oriented printed materials versus
Yeah. Okay. Travis.
The only reason why I would say I disagree is because I don't think anything that has been listed here would be that like type of restriction that would be placed on candidates. Like, I think it would be a set standard that is amongst places, because I can't think of anything that says here that would directly, like, because clearly we would just strike things like this, the design must be set, this part.
It's like 90%.
Yeah. So it would really just be creating that standard, and I don't think that's a problem to say, like, bare bones, this is what all promotional materials will be provided by.
Varun, Tris, and then Dale.
I think we're all on the same page.
Okay, Dale.
Yeah, I was going to say that I think the invention of digital promotional materials is made regulation, like, absurd.
Okay.
Where the regulation would only exist for people to qualify with candidates, because you're never going to have a candidate with 100% compliance, especially if you start factoring.
John.
Yeah, I do think just with the digital revolution, we have to adjust. I do think it warrants having two different sections, one for printed and one for digital. I think, you know, because it's a lot harder to control digital information.
But just saying, like, but specifically though, I haven't heard anyone say specifically what needs to be the difference between printed and digital. Besides the fact that it's provided by the office, I feel like that was a distinction that was being made. But what is the difference in terms of...
So basically, if I were to make something digital, what I have to, because I know during the candidate process, you upload your material online, but it's only one upload. You can't upload multiple things. So
but,
I want to like upload digitally, like 3 or 4 days.
But that's what you're promoting on your. That's not specifically what is being printed by the office. So the office would still be able to ask you, do you want promotional materials printed? But it's just saying bare bones. These are guidelines that all materials that are putting forth your candidacy, printed or digital, you must abide by this standard.
Next is Zach.
So when it comes to digital promotional materials, I think they should be held to some standards. So I think that if you're running for an election, you're obviously heading your own campaign. So like if you're releasing a digital material, say like the candidate has to essentially approve and like send out the digital materials for their own campaign. So that means like if like say I was running for a position and I had a campaign and I release and I like put a digital material in an email chain, GroupMe or chat and said, hey, can you change your cover photos to this? And the thing I sent everyone was in violation, then that should disqualify me. If someone was just in a chat and created something and said, hey, this is something, or somebody just created something, like, are they leading the campaign? I don't know. So I think the candidate should be approving the materials for their own campaign.
One clarification.
Yes.
Oh, just saying, like, you, like, the candidate would have to verify that this person is on their campaigns in some regard. Like, it's not just that people can willy-nilly post on your behalf. Like, that's something the election committee always takes into account. Like, are these people acting on your behalf? Are they a supporter on your behalf? That's what it is. And it's like, if there's a general relationship amongst you and like, you, like the elections committee has the ability to ask like, whoever has supported this candidate, whether or not this person has any involvement. Like, I think that's what that's gonna come down to, not really restricting how people can promote visually or printed.
Osai.
I think we need to better refine the language so that it's less ambiguous. Because
so do you have actual language?
No. It's an idea. I don't have actual language. It's an idea.
So,
but
the whole semester.
Like, I think we all agree that it needs to be more like specific, but we need the language here.
Mm-hmm.
All right, perfect.
In the meantime, I'm moving on to the next section.
Okay.
Second.
Yeah.
And just saying, like, I would just like
everyone to abide by that standard. If Daniel can take the time to write it, like, I think everyone can. Like, you shouldn't be making exceptions. Certain members.
So what?
No. You have something to say? That's what I thought. Okay. No, don't. No, 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 no. I don't take disrespect,
whether on the mic or down there, just so you know.
Gabe, you got anything? So mouth.
She's chilling. Myra's voting still. You good, Myra?
Thank you.
All right.
All right, we're gonna have decorum here. Travis.
The next section is early campaigning, prohibition. And the part that we really removed was just the idea that, like, when you're collecting signatures, you cannot state your campaign platform and stuff. And we think it's really just absurd that, like, when you're going, that you can't state it's like, oh, I'm trying to get on the ballot, but I can't actually tell you what I'm running for. This will aid candidates and will, I think, like, help streamline that election process to help get out the word more, because now you know what people are running for. And I think it creates better due diligence on candidates so that when you do run, you have ideas.
I like that.
Hey, Natalia, how are you?
Natalia!
We got 17 minutes with quorum, guys.
All right, Chris.
I just have one concern striking that. I understand your rationale, if that makes sense. But does that mean somebody could come to the SA to suspend the candidacy, and then afterwards collect signatures and say, yeah, well, maybe I was campaigning?
I think the other reason why we did this is also because it was raised to us by multiple candidates that it's hard during the campaign process to, like, and it's just also a fact of reality whether or not people are emailing organizations ahead of time, such as, like, trying to get the endorsement. So this is really just clarifying the fact that, like, those endorsements aren't released to the actual campaign period, but when the petition period is started, you can also speak to student organizations to have that released endorsement, because it also puts more burden on these student organizations, so that we said, you have 2 weeks to meet with all these candidates who are asking for all your endorsements. And luckily, races haven't been that contested, but if any race was ever so much, like, that's a lot of burden we're putting on students who are asking for endorsements or, like, trying to gain that endorsement.
Right, right.
Adam?
All right,
Chris, finish.
My concern is that this is effectively extending the campaign here, because you can go around to all these organizations and give, like, you're basically campaigning, but just through student organizations. But, like, the fact is that very many students are in organizations, you could get enough organizations for your effective campaign. And just because of, like, it's an individual. You understand my concern? Like, you can go to a lot of big organizations effectively campaigning.
But the idea is, like, striking it now, saying, like, these are the things you can't do, and you could do that now under early campaign.
Yeah. Oh, that's what, so you're not.
Well, so he's saying that.
That's effectively.
No, I agree. So
no, but we're saying you can early in that regard. Like, that is okay.
No, so he's saying that that's not okay, because
it's also different because more groups of students, because you could. And it's really like, and then, like, could somebody be quarter cutting at Hope Plaza, but, like, because he's with members of, like, his organization, like, make excuses that all these people were just, like, you understand, like, people could play. I'm afraid people might play around.
So, so would you just want language that is just restricting, like,
yeah, maybe more specific, saying, not that it's prohibited, but you can make decisions in closed sessions of student organizations in order to collect signatures. So, that makes sense.
I mean, it's like, what if someone comes to ISU and, like, starts talking to ISU?
Yeah, but isn't that what we're supposed to do about now?
No, but closed session would mean that, like, because ISU has open sessions and closed sessions. Yeah. So, like, is it closed session and open sessions? So I think the intent is to include the open session.
Right. But you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess we could, like, not call it closed session, but, like, the official meetings of.
You know, I think that works.
Because I think it opens it up for reviews. As long as they're doing it first, it's fine.
So something along the lines of making speeches or statements to student organizations or groups not during official meeting times?
Yeah, outside of official meetings.
Outside.
Or you would say during official
meetings. No, because it's prohibition, things you can't do. So you can't do this.
It's, you must not participate.
So you're saying they're allowed to.
Yes.
So even so, in these speeches that you're talking about, it are still time limited to the what you call it, the period where they condition period. Right?
Yes, correct.
So they're still time limited. And they're very specific conditions, right? Or they're very specific.
Because we don't release the forms.
It's very specific conditions that make it okay to do this. I'm trying to allow.
Yes.
Okay, I'm just trying to make sure.
No worries.
Point of inquiry. There is no like official starting period for forms being out there, right?
I would say usually it's when the office prints them. They usually only print them with a good day, like when it's election time.
Right, but you can still access them, and my concern is like I think if we would approach it that way, like the best thing we could do is say like 2 weeks before petition signatures are due is when petitioning period begins. Like I think it makes more sense to like structure it. But then you get into the whole idea of are you early petitioning? And so like that's it's just.
Well, that's what I guess. Like that would be the push to actually have the I guess maybe it would say like language would be more so like not official positioning time, but more so like when the first mandatory campaign meeting hits.
Okay. So,
not campaign, but information session.
Next is Natalia.
It doesn't make any sense to not allow them to petition. Then you have that whole week period, and even when you're petitioning, like people ask you like, "What are you doing?" And like you
kind of
just do the thing where you're like, "I can't tell you this. Don't lie." So end of the day, I don't see a problem with this being taken out. Like, there's already
no. No, Chris is just saying so that you're not like forming a block on Hope Plaza, basically, right?
Yeah. So basically, there's a difference between like telling your friends or something or like strangers that you're petitioning to, like this is my platform, and like going in front of ISU or the lending library or CAFSU to get their endorsement. You know.
Chris, shout out.
Oh, you're saying that's okay.
Yeah, he's saying just like Hope Plaza, really.
Wait, guys, can you guys cut the side chatter? Are you okay?
So obviously, one of the challenges is mentioned to be permissible, but there's also this on a spectrum. Because if we just strike this,
we
can go.
Wait, Varun and Nathan, can you guys like cut the side chatter? Right? I just asked you. Okay, we get it, but I need to hear him, right?
Because currently, if you just strike this, you could go up with a megaphone on Hope Plaza and like say things out to like hundreds of people, and you think that like signatures from like the majority of them could say it's covered under these rules and the order.
That's like literally early campaigning.
Yeah. That's my concern.
Okay, Dale.
I think it's highly problematic for allowing you to make speeches. Speeches is not the same thing you respond to somebody when they ask you, oh, what is my signature mean? Oh, what's your platform? Making speeches is formalized. And I'm very much against people being able to talk to student organizations during the petitioning period. Mm-hmm. That is campaigning. That is organized discussions of your campaign with an organized group of students. That's not talking to five people in a dining hall or sitting together that ask about your platform. And what we're getting at here is that we want a longer campaign period, but we don't want to make the petitioning period a quasi-campaign period. That's not a solution. That's making the problem worse than it already is. So I'm probably going to motion later to put all this language back in. If we want to make it okay for people to be able to explain their platform in response to questions while petitioning, to make it clear that that's allowed, that's one thing. But organized discussions with student organizations, that there's no way you can say that's not.
What information?
Yeah, if you're asking a question, that's a problem. If there's a question, it's a problem. Like that's what we're getting at here. If you have to ask yourself, is this campaigning? It's probably campaigning. You certainly
well, that's the discretion of the election.
Well, how do we delineate that?
Lick my.
I think you can say, like, you should add a saying you're allowed to respond to questions about why you're petitioning.
Put that in the paper.
But you shouldn't be allowed to make speech. That is just.
But what is a speech?
No, hey guys, decorum. So I'm gonna. So next is Gabe.
Am I on the list?
I know you're used to being called first,
so
but this is like you're on the list, okay?
Yeah.
By the way, Dale, I see your hand. I have two eyes. I can see. Okay. I see you too, Chris.
I completely agree that like it's not okay for like people getting petitions to be like meeting with and scheduling meetings with organizations because like that's literally campaigning and that creates like a completely that's campaigning. I think that what like the purpose of changing it like this was solely so that when you are seeking petitions, you are allowed to explain your platform and what the student assembly is. I think that what we should do is basically we should like maybe strike
like whatever we had stricken, and then basically say like, however, you are permitted to do the following.
So unstrike first.
So yeah, yeah, strike the stricken is like unstrike. Yeah, I think we should unstrike.
Why am I angry? I'm confused.
Wait, let him finish first.
Yeah. So what I would propose is that we unstrike everything there, and then at the bottom say, you know, say like candidates are permitted to respond to inquiries about the general election process and their platform. But that's it. Anything more than that, scheduling meetings, schedule, you know, setting up, you know, giving out quarter cards, obviously private.
That's kind of...
Can you repeat your language?
Yeah, so, okay, I'll just make a motion to amend.
Give him the mic.
Because
we need that on the recording.
So is it a motion to amend the amendment? Because didn't Dale have an amendment?
No, there was no amendment. Wait, do you have quorum right now?
No.
Okay.
All right.
Well,
I'll
still read it in.
Just read it so we can have a discussion.
Okay, so I have nothing written, but I'm going to try to do this. So on line 182, we'll have another paragraph that says candidates individuals collecting signatures for petition sheets are permitted to respond to inquiries respond to inquiries regarding the student assembly election process in general and their specific platform in particular.
Okay, well. Well, there's no amendment, so.
I move to say this amendment.
Well, we're not, we can't do motions, we don't have quorum.
Yeah, I move to say this amendment and all other amendments be accumulated until we have quorum.
Okay.
To continue the election.
Are we getting quorum?
What,
can I say one thing?
Yeah, sure.
So I
agree with
the spirit of this amendment, but I think it's still over for abuse. What if the organization says, we're going to be on your platform, tell me more about us. Is that an inquiry? Inevitably, if you're a member of a large organization, you want to collect signatures, right? It's just like, that's just sufficient, right? If you're a 50-people organization at a deep body, you want to collect signatures. And so then, if you have, can you just tell some your best friend in the org, like, you ask me a question on the platform, oh, great. And then you just, like, screen it out to everyone, and then go around collecting signatures.
Yeah, right.
Like, doesn't
so yeah, no, I agree with that.
Yeah.
I have a response to that.
Yes.
Like, uncirculated petitions are still not allowed. Can't ever go make a big speech and then pass the petition around.
But it's not
you
speech.
Still have to go up to every individual.
So I think Chris is saying
point of inquiry.
Yes.
Does it specific? According to my understanding, please clarify. When it says the language, from my understanding, is that it says circulated petitions must like you have to be present. Like I can still circulate it in this area. But as long as I'm present, like I can give it to that group over there as long as I'm watching it happen. Like unattended petitions, I don't know. Like that might be something that we need to clarify.
I think it was clear for all of us.
Okay.
No, so I think Chris.
But I appreciate the.
I think Chris's concern is like, you know, you have a friend in like, let's say Caius, right? So you go to Caius meeting and ask a friend, hey, like, can you ask me, friend, like, you know, what is this, right? And then Chris could be like, oh, in a very light voice, like, oh, I'm running for student assembly for this position, and this is why. That's basically the same thing as giving a speech. No, this is why it's basically it's like a speech. You're saying, I'm running on this. And then it just happens that you're speaking out a loud voice to one person, but 50 other people could hear you. Right? Natalia.
Okay. Wait.
Oh, I'm just going. Yeah.
So can we say, so like, what do you have
you keep on
like,
talking to
you from talking to, like, e-board members? Because, like, is that what I'm getting? I'm very confused. Like, if we're taking that out and we're saying you can talk to students about your platform, e-board members count as students, so, like, obviously you can.
It's a quorum of an executive board of an organization.
Not together, I mean individually.
Mm.
So that's fine. So people do that all the time. They approach the president of a certain organization before campaigning starts and say, can you help me out when I run, like, in 2 weeks or 1 week?
Or, like, when all of SA eats together down on the West.
They don't really do that.
Yeah, what?
But
usually there's about like 5 or 6 people together, so I'm just saying. Like,
Bruin.
Yeah, so Chris pretty much had the exact same things that I was gonna say. Like, it's unrealistic to expect like I could have just gone around with John and been like, "Hey, John, like, ask me a question." But I think it's appropriate that we do remove this language and maintain it as it is, because the reality, like Natalia said before, like, you're gonna go up to your friends, you're gonna go up to like people that you know. But in accordance with that, I think it's also important to recognize the difference between groups of students and student organizations. And so I think that we need to have a line or a statement, like maybe we only strike the part that says, or we make it so that it can say like making speeches or statements to student organizations. So it only strikes groups of students. That way when you're with your friends, that way when you're with like small groups of like people, like you're clearly like talking to them. But the intent, then, I think, is very clear that you're like not supposed to be talking to student organizations.
And you can still file.
I think a game member would say candidates are allowed during the petition period, individuals may answer questions to individuals welcome to students.
So going off of that, like, I don't think it makes sense for there to be like this whole questions thing. Like, it's just like extra words that we're adding on that doesn't change anything.
So may discuss the student assembly election process in general.
I think that's inappropriate too, because then you start saying like, oh, like, hey, can I get a signature for this so I can run for this position? Oh, like, why are you running for this position? Oh, I can't tell you. Like, I can only tell you this is how the process works. Like, it's just
absurd. I think that is the process. But, you have
but also,
no,
right
but
now
the
you're
purpose,
not allowed to do anything.
I guess like from like a philosophical perspective, like what is the purpose of getting petition signatures? Is it to get like you to develop a platform? Is it to get your name out there? Or is it get like you to engage with
consumers? It's literally,
what's the intent from that was originally submitted when the line was created?
All right.
So the intent is just to be like
every now
like,
and then I
mean bureaucracy. That's fine. Like
no,
that's what you want.
My understanding is the purpose was so that like you're like a legitimate candidate. Is to like.
But why does that make you legitimate if no one understands why you're running?
Once again, I'm going to reference
right.
the person who created the rule, wherever they were. Can we get them archivists?
I mean, that's the reason there. In order to demonstrate that they will be a respectable representative student.
How does that make you respectable?
So if the threshold to run is that like you just say, I'm going to run, then anyone will do it, right? But if you have to go out and get 100, 150, 200, 300 signatures, then that's like a higher threshold, right?
So you're just saying putting in time. So if I
exactly,
sat,
yeah.
If I sat
oh,
there
what
for like 5 hours, that makes me a respectable candidate?
According
like,
to this rule,
like,
it does, yeah.
Which is what I'm saying is absurd.
It's not really absurd.
Gabe,
yeah, Gabe can speak. Gabe has the floor.
What? You can't do that?
Yeah,
where's the list?
The chair.
I control the list, right?
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Is the list.
Can you read your speaker list?
Yes. I'm using it, Bruin. That's why you were fourth, not first. Okay? We have Grace and Chris after.
Okay,
Gabe.
Okay. So, Bruin, question. Are you disagreeing with having petitions? No, I am not. I am disagreeing with the idea that petitioning should be, like, just wasting people's time. Like,
that should
is,
be police.
Like,
that's not what it is.
No. But, so what I am requesting is that petitioning have a purpose where you're able to discuss your ideas, where you're able to develop your platform, and you're able to communicate with, like, your friends to, like, see, like, is this, like, a viable idea? Like, where you, like, test things, where you say, like, hey, like, if I'm going to run, or, like, why I'm going to run, or why, like, how this election works. Like, petitioning under the model that Dale and you were suggesting essentially says, I go up to someone, they ask me whether or not, like why I'm collecting petition signatures. I just tell them it's what I have to do. That changes nothing.
That's why I said you should be able to discuss your platform.
Okay.
Oh,
you
yeah.
said that was still too restrictive.
So,
okay, I think people are confused here.
So I feel like what we should do, if I may, is restore the election rules back to what it was before they were edited by the Elections Committee with respect to what they have there on early campaigning.
Okay, not the whole document.
No. I definitely have the whole document.
Yeah,
I think. And then I would like to go to the petition signature part and basically just say, like, the purpose of collecting petitions is. And then you
just
can, no,
like,
oh, that's not what you want.
Like,
oh,
I think like the whole purpose of this is just to avoid you from like getting endorsements from student organizations.
Yeah.
I think we just take out the groups of like we take out the language that says four groups of students because then you're like still able to like communicate with your peers.
You mean making wait, no, you mean this. Two student organizations.
No.
No, you want to take out student organizations.
No,
what's
no,
they
no,
take out groups?
Just groups of students.
Why would we take
so
out
so I want to restore making speeches or statements to student organizations.
as a prohibited item.
Yeah, well, you can also.
You don't want to add it.
That makes sense.
Wait, you want to permit making speeches or statements to the Supreme Court?
This is prohibited!
Dave, you added this little word!
Yeah, Gabe. Sorry.
Literally added it.
All right, guys, just so everyone's clear, this is for early campaigning prohibition, and Varun's proposed amendment is making speeches or statements. Get some board. Yeah, so do we have quorum?
Oh, no, save it for the people.
So you...
I don't have a mic.
All right.
Can we write down the potential amendments on the whiteboard? Like the ones that we're like just retaining until we have forum.
So I'm going to read it for the record, okay? So on line 178, we're going to amend it to making speeches or statements to student organizations. Period. That was not a motion. Wait, so how many people do we have right now?
Who are we missing?
Who are we missing?
Ian left?
Yeah, he left.
Then we can't do anything.
We can still discuss.
Can someone call either Debbie or Ian and have them on speaker?
Ian's
a love
graduation.
He's not. So he's
here for you. And Debbie's doing a Awadi honor ceremony. You know where I should be? But like, yeah.
If we don't have a quorum, then we can't do anything today.
Then I think as representatives, do your due diligence to make this suggestion for the fall. It won't pass today.
Wait, we still have to.
Can I make a point?
Really, can I make a point?
Yeah. I mean, we could theoretically discuss and agree on every amendment we'd want to make and then literally make a call and just make a motion to approve all amendments and then make a subsequent motion to approve the resolution. But like literally, let's just all approve. Let's all agree on everything and then approve it. Like,
okay. Does that sound good, guys?
Just like, let's agree on the final version.
We do have two proxy votes already for this election rules in general. So
we have
two proxy votes already.
We also don't have quorum.
Proxy votes.
So we like legitimately cannot make motions.
Yeah.
So the votes are for the election rules.
No, so we will call in at the end.
Why don't mean that count towards quorum at least?
You? Because you're not.
No,
I understand.
We weren't elected, Travis.
Yeah, you didn't call us.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I collected Giles signatures.
I did in 2016.
Oops. Okay. Guys, so I think we're all under. I think we all agree that I think. Brun. You're fine. All right. So. I know what you're doing. Okay. So right now, I think we are all under agreement that the amendment will be as Travis wrote on the board for line 178. So assuming that we're all in agreement with this, let's go to the next thing, okay?
So,
yes.
Would we mind? I think, like, the best thing that we can do procedurally is just taking, like, a straw poll.
Yeah.
To show, like,
yes, we can do that.
To show the rest of the assembly, like, that we're, like, aligned with, like in some manner.
All right, yeah.
That way, at... After everything is done, send out an email about and say, like, these are the amendments to the document.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
So we'll do a straw poll then.
Yeah.
So all those in favor of this.
Oh, sorry. Right. Yep. 1, 2, 3.
Myra?
Wait. 1, 2.
We need your vote.
Wait. Oh. All right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
12. All those against?
I
mean, there's no point.
We got one against.
One against? Who's against? Alex, are you
Alex.
Against? I need you to pay attention for this, okay?
Is it?
So are you a third? Is that a 12 or 13?
Well, yeah.
All those?
Okay, 12.
12?
Yeah, I counted 12.
All right. Yeah. All those in favor, raise your hand.
It was 12.
Including.
See, 12. Okay. I was right.
All right. All those against? All those against?
Zero.
Abstentions?
You.
All right, so we have 13 people. I thought we have 14.
Okay, so 14 total is 52.
Where's Gabe?
No, you don't count.
Gabe's not here. We have 13 people in the room right now.
All right.
In favor of this drug?
So 12, 0 to 1.
You don't have to abstain. This is committee of the whole.
Yes, I'm in favor. Yeah, sure.
Okay.
All right, so we're at 13, 0 to 0. So, okay, so this amendment, let's keep it on there, okay? So let's go to the next section.
Where's Gabe?
Where's Gabe?
Maybe in the restroom. His backpack here. All right.
Zach's writing it down, I think.
I just wrote down.
I'm also putting all this word down. I'll send it to everybody.
Thank you. No, we can't go home yet.
Okay. It's section set. Wait. Oh, you're putting it in there? Okay.
Man. All right. You should have had more drugs.
Oh, damn.
Dale, can you scroll?
Proposed amendment from section 5 under article 2.
Yes.
Promotional
materials. Or is that article? It doesn't matter. Dan has to go, so he wants to do a straw poll then before he goes.
All right.
It's a lot of language. Can you just type it up?
Yeah. Oh, can somebody give him the mic? Or
who has the mic?
I'll read it out
loud. Give me the mic.
You guys can follow.
Okay. Who needs the mic?
I can all hear each other.
Okay, give me the mic.
Okay, so my proposed amendment is keep everything under 5 for promotional materials, but have 2 subsections. The first subsection being 1 for promotional materials provided by the Office of Assemblies. Under that, I would take out the section, like the line B, because that's what we decided, where we discussed the investment dates and time, and then also take out the first paragraph. And the second section would read all other promotional materials, and then
wait. I think we already were cool.
What?
So you have to do it under like the new section.
Okay.
But what like
we removed the entirety of this area or this area. Sorry.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So we removed this, and then we changed to section 5, so that this moves up. It's not a subsection.
Okay. Well, I'm the same.
Also, you're not getting a thing right now.
Also, like,
That's fine. Okay,
yeah.
So then, what I was saying, so then
make it
section 6.
He's starting over. Not, like, disregard everything you heard before.
Disregard only the fact that I was making it a second subsection.
Right, so Joe is typing this up as you speak, right?
Section 6 would read all other promotional materials. Subsection, I guess, A, all... all materials.
Where'd you get that?
I have multiple points. Okay, so subsection 1. All materials must be in compliance with the campus code of conduct of the elections guidelines. Section 2. No pronoun singular logos allowed. Sorry.
Make it A, B, just because.
Section 3. Individuals campaigning on behalf of any candidate must provide by these rules. And then section 4. Promotional materials are both printed and digital, and that'll have a subsection that's going to just specify a little bit. So under that, make like a digital materials includes but is not limited to those via email, social network tools, and other digital media. So I just took language that was on the next page.
But are not limited to?
To those via email. Social network tools and other networks.
Less.
Social media is kind of not.
It's on the board.
Yeah, that's everything. What? That's everything.
Oh.
All right, personal speakers are suburban.
Yeah, so I like love you, Dan, but I think that this is a super redundant like piece of information. Like it changes nothing. Fact is, most of this is already in the election rules. Like, all materials must be in compliance with the campus code of conduct. That's section C, 3. Like, it's right there, including the Cornell logo insignia. Like, the logo policy is under the same section. Promotional materials, like individuals campaigning on behalf, that's already in the rules. And then the fourth section doesn't even matter; it changes nothing. So, like I just think that this is like a super redundant, amendment that doesn't change the way that this resolution is read.
I mean, this would clarify everything that happened with this semester.
I just don't think it would.
Next is Gabe.
Yeah, I agree with Arun and Dale. I think there's actually another section that basically serves this function already.
It's on the screen.
Yeah, there it is.
It's compliance.
So
Vern just say that?
Yeah. So
we're all in agreement.
Okay.
Okay.
So then
next is John.
I move to vote on the amendment.
I think we're also missing like potential things like activities. Like I was on my way to Chipotle and had this idea.
What if I just had a car and I just had like people in the car just shouting, "Yo, vote John Dominguez, president of the SA." But like, and that's not.
Whoa!
Really
so are you ready for SA president? This is the early kid. Write it down.
All right, go on. Let him talk.
Challenge.
All right. John, talk.
That's not really promotional material. It's more like an activity. I feel like that's not covered in here. And then, like, I feel like the elections committee, like,
Bill Barun, Dan.
Are we going to, like, maybe we should, perhaps we should also maybe,
like a promoting candidacy or something?
Yeah,
or
like activity campaign.
All promotions of any sort, all campaign activities already have to comply with this section.
Yeah.
So activities, that'll be an activity, right?
No.
Yeah. I mean, like, you do.
But is he breaking any rule, though, with that? I'm just saying, if the car, like,
you are allowed to show out of your car.
Yeah. Unless you're using amplified sound anywhere on campus other than Coke Plaza,
okay. Yeah, so that's not a problem.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay, motion to straw poll vote.
Second.
On this?
Yes.
No, on this.
On the amendment.
Wait, so I thought everyone's pretty clear that they don't want it. So, Dan, do you want to maintain it?
Let's handle this.
Then that's much easier, isn't it, guys? All right. So he jumped. I'm just saying. Dan, so do you?
I rescind the amendment.
Awesome. Yeah, so Natalia, you're first.
Okay, can I just say something real quick? These rules are basically just so that we have fair elections. Let's not get too picky with things that don't make a difference in terms of whether or not, like, two candidates have equal opportunity to compete. Do you know what I mean?
We agree, yeah.
And, like, let's get this done. Let's get this on the road.
Yeah, so Travis, you're going to go through the next section. Yeah. So we're going to the next section.
Oh, indoor themes.
Here's the mic. Oh, J1 has a motion to amend. Mm-hmm.
Wait.
Can you repeat that?
It's 206, right? It's 206.
Yeah.
All right.
Unanimous straw.
All right, all those in favor. Oh,
ask for any dissent.
So if there's any dissent, then speak now or forever hold your peace. All right, so you're all holding your pieces.
Were they all wearing a green?
Yes, we're not. Yeah, we go.
Okay, so page six guys, and under endorsements is just the idea that, like, endorsements can come from individual students.
Speak in the mind.
What they said, yes.
Why should you choose to say registered students?
Like, because only registered students, like, according, can vote.
Do alumni, like, well, I guess, like, my question is, would alumni be able to individually endorse candidates?
Yeah, they do that.
They actually
do. This is just encouragement. Like, this is saying, like, people are supposed to have one. It's never been a restriction.
It makes it confusing, though, right? Ambiguous. Like, that ability, I think.
Oh, wait, crap.
What?
Is that you?
Or crapping, just for clarification.
Okay, what does that have to do with
crapping?
Yeah, so this was actually, like, a big point of contention, and I know it's, like, kind of...
Really? Committee was unanimous.
Right. So, we threw in there except candidates, but, like, I think that it should not be, the case that all registered students are encouraged to endorse candidates. I think, like, dampening that in any way is offensive to democracy, and so I think that we should take out the except candidates, and in other places in the election rules where it puts a prohibition on.
See, that's what that's in reference to.
Yeah.
So I would. Can we just hold off?
Prepare an omnibus amendment if he actually wants to do that, because we can't take it out of here unless one thing's clarity.
All right. So, Travis, you want to continue? Yeah.
All right, so any discussion on this?
So,
yeah.
I guess, like,
motion to remove registered, because I think that, or like maybe registered students and alumni, are like
what?
I mean, it's just
approved. Yeah, it's not like, it's not that confusing. I think no one else is confused.
Okay.
All right. Awesome.
I feel
Travis.
Alumni may have a role in this next election.
No, I'm just saying that. I respect your time.
All right. Next is the section that was in, it's Article 2. We're moving on to Article 2. Good job, guys.
I have my amendment.
All right.
No, but that's in a later section, though, is it not?
Nope, it's here.
Okay.
It's actually right before.
Wait.
Can
we
do
$100?
Wait. So Gabe has a question. I mean,
oh, yeah, you're right.
Grace has a question.
Okay.
So it says all registered students except candidates are encouraged. So that means candidates are disencouraged, but they could still endorse.
No, because there's other sections that deal with it. That's not
no, it's saying course. The idea that, like, candidates can't endorse willy-nilly because of the restrictions and the. In this part,
so
that's what it's a reference to.
So let's go through this first,
okay,
and then we'll. Yeah.
For
all right, so Gabe, what's your amendment?
Yeah, so I move to amend, just literally, like, take out the entirety of
D.
D.
D. As in dog?
D.
Wait, what
number is it?
266.
Wait.
No, all of D.
Dale, can you go to D?
This is D.
He said all of D, not
okay.
Well, okay, yeah, so it's to strike all D, and if we want to keep plagiarism in, we can. But I just want to and in addition to striking all of D, I would like to on line 254 strike except candidates. That will do it.
Okay, I move to separate your motion into two separate motions so we can vote on just the
You can't separate. Yeah, so what's the point of information, Chris?
No.
Okay, guys.
Go on.
Yeah, I recognize Chris. I think the bigger question with Gabe's amendment is like whether President and VP could endorse Stalin as well.
I also think Natalia had a pretty good point of information on why you can't separate.
Yeah, what's your point of information?
What? I was just saying that he technically made two different amendments.
But
yeah.
The First Amendment is contingent on the Second Amendment.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, sure.
So, yeah, it's the same thing. So I moved to take this out of the elections rules. We need a majority to pass this, but when we get quorum.
So do you want a discussion on this first?
Yeah, so I'd like to have a discussion about
all right.
The value of prohibiting candidates from endorsing each other.
Let's do it for the eighth time.
Yeah.
I think we should come back to this after we fix the basics.
Yeah.
Like, this is fundamentally changing the entirety of how SA elections work.
Okay, we'll come back to it then. Travis, yes.
I have to go, but I have one suggestion. Can we make consistency in the formatting? Because Article A has, or Article 1 has a different formatting for the rest of the article.
What do you mean? Like font size? Like what?
Like subsection.
Oh, no, it's like confusing because of like the transfer, but we'll,
yeah,
don't worry.
So, like, consistency is, I really need
to.
No, that's fine. Thank you.
Yeah, don't apologize.
That's important. Yeah, thanks, Dan.
Go to the $100 and then come back to this.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll come back to this.
Oh.
So many directions.
The $100 I will where campaign finance. Oh, there it is. Okay. So the $100 was actually brought to the elections committee by guests and Gabe. I personally I think this question is really for you guys more so than anybody. Did the original $50 restrict you? And I think, like, that's the question that she asked, as well as also thinking about the fact that, like, you're saying $100 per student, and is that, like, a waste of activity fee money as well?
Also, why do you get reimbursed? Not everybody has $100.
I spend, like, literally $10 for my presidential race.
That's not
what you're addressing.
She's addressing the fact that a lot of people don't have money to come up with at first. Like, it's
yeah.
Capital. Like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I'm saying there's no point with that.
No junk, but it's like it's a different. Yours is saying like the actual utility of it. She's saying the actual.
Oh, that no. Okay, I guess that's okay. I get it. Thank you. Yeah. All right, Gabe.
So, I think that when you have a short campaigning period, and when you have a good, and when you have a short campaigning period. And when you have a very small spending cap, then you inherently bias the elections
towards both incumbents and people who already have, are like.
I think endorsements do that. Sorry.
Dale,
so arms
I say I see you. I'm going to call you later, but yeah, I see you.
But it biases the election towards people like that because it doesn't give newcomers an opportunity or challengers an opportunity to actually get their like their message heard. So I think that like more debate is good, more speaking is good, more advertising is good because it helps candidates who don't have you know as many networks as other people.
Dale.
I still think it is a really important question to ask whether I agree. Like Gabe's logic only works if every candidate has $100.
Yeah, that's right.
As well as the activity fee.
Okay, and we can tell the office of these companies that have $100 bills ready to be reserved.
Right, so if you want to put that in the rule.
Wait, I think that's a bad idea.
Why?
Because
So if you did that, would the result be okay? I'm just not gonna do a question for you. But
it's
the
fine,
result,
yeah.
The result of giving someone $100 in cash is that you're automatically giving them $100. Whereas in this method, you're saying, hey, if you spend 50, like not 100, the Office of Assemblies, the student assembly, has only spent $50. Like if I get $100. Like, I am not motivated to give back whatever like,
exactly.
So
I could just,
yeah. Student assembly wastes a lot of money that could go towards, like, beneficial student initiatives.
So I could run, and then, like, as a joke, just get $100 and just, like, run.
Exactly.
I was just going to
say,
I wouldn't
do
that.
No,
yeah,
that's
so,
true.
Just to clarify, there is no mechanism by which we can
give out cash, right?
I'm just kidding.
I can't even employee.
Yeah.
I can't.
Exactly, yeah.
Right? So,
that's a terrible idea.
Verbalist recommendation.
Chris.
I mean, even if that were possible, it's not like incumbents would get $100 either. They would just like they could do just as much advertising plus all the connections or whatever it is. It doesn't really end up giving.
I agree. It's a terrible idea.
And in addition to that, it puts people on low socioeconomic status still have $100 in their bank account at a disadvantage. So I think it's just.
Motion to vote.
I will. Okay. All those in favor. Wait, is there a second?
By
straw poll. Huh? Oh, so Natalia, so what's your exact language?
I'm just saying to vote on his amendment. But wait,
no, it's in there.
It's
I'm just saying.
So Natalia, so you can motion to amend this to
make it 50.
Yeah, so to revert, right?
Yeah.
So all those, is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
One,
two, three,
four,
five.
Two of them.
Eight.
Eight?
Right?
Including Myra?
All the
no. Not all of
Myra.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Room.
Hands
up. Shoot
again.
Shoot
again.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, yes.
All those against?
Like I would. I'm not against.
Right. All those against. Everyone has to vote. Yes.
Anyways.
Abstentions.
Abstentions.
Gabe, what are you doing?
Two.
Oh, sorry.
Three.
Wait, who's 1, 2, 3?
Well, you're in the three.
Okay, so 8, 1, 3. So we have. 12 people.
John, you said it was stupid. Go against it. It's not real. It's
it does,
I think you took a powerful stance.
I think you should vote, John.
All right, no.
That's
so 8.
Oh,
I mean, yes. So 9.
John doesn't vote on that.
9, 1, 2, 2. 9, 1, 2. So it's going to be reverted back to $50. Can you write that down? Can you write that down for us?
No, Gary, Dale's doing
it. Oh, okay. That's fine then. Yeah.
The whole time.
All right. All right, Travis, next section.
All right. No, it's still back to Gabe. Oh, no, we're going back to that whole
yeah.
Okay.
JJC?
No. No. It's Article 2. And so that is just a clarification on how, like, there's the direct election of the president and EVP, meaning it's a drop down to undesignated, and then they still run in that race. And this is previous language that Dale copied right over from previous election rules that was taken out for a brief period in time, but now it's just standardizing that process to keep the elections like consistent and fair. And you guys can take a moment to read it.
Yeah, I just want to say that it's not great language, but the removal of it has caused far more confusion than any of us would have liked. So for now, I think the best thing is to put it back in. If you have suggestions, you can accept the fall, because this won't affect the fall election.
Evan.
I don't agree with this. I think the two, having 2 seats reserved is like, I think that's a bad idea.
This doesn't change anything. This is what we're under.
Yeah.
This is just
making it. It's not reserved.
Yeah.
They're adding them to the race, the undes race.
Yeah, my name was there too.
Yeah, so like a seat was reserved, an undesignated seat was reserved.
reserved for the person who won the presidency. Chum got that. An undesignated large seat was reserved for the person.
Okay. So if you have like multiple people running for the presidency, one person wins the presidency. The other people are put into the race for the undesignated representative.
For the other four undesignated representatives.
Well, so I actually agree with Evan.
It is a little.
Yeah, it says reserved, which is not really true.
No, it is reserved. Like, John's seat was reserved for the person who won the
presidency. No. So, we're saying that for the undesignated seat, right?
Yeah,
so,
you are an undesignated representative.
No, so.
It's confusing.
So what we're saying.
The charter is to normal people.
Okay, so this is for the normal people, okay?
I understand.
Normal people read these rules.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
Why don't we say, like,
strike that!
John! Guys!
I got the four.
Oh.
John does have the floor. John does have the floor. Gabe, shut up. John.
Why don't we start with subject first? President and executive vice president serve as undesignated at large representatives. I think that's their seat. The subject and the predicate. I think that would clarify things. They serve as.
Oh, no. Okay, Natalia.
Okay, motion to amend that they got one. Two and three. It just
needs
four.
It
does the same thing.
It functionally doesn't because of the way the charter is. Like, this language doesn't exist anywhere else.
You mansplain.
I feel like one two and three confuse it.
So once you're gone, like no. Like, what I'm saying is, like, once you're gone, you're going to have someone that understands the rules the way that you do. And someone that understands it and that can explain it the way that you do.
Then I'm not okay taking that until we fix the charter.
Why can't we get the person?
That's what they said 2 years ago, and they didn't do it.
Yeah.
What is it that you want to happen? And then make the language follow what you want to happen. Do you want the seat of the president to be an undesignated person in that election that does not advance there's another chair automatically
No.
So we don't want to... All right, Gabe.
Okay, so here's what I want, and here's what has been done for 8 years. So that's why I said here's what I want. So what I want, and what has been done for 8 years, is I want all candidates who are running for either president, EVP, or undesignated, will be listed in the undesignated race.
Mm-hmm.
And then any candidate who is running in the president race will be listed in the president race. And any candidate who is running in the executive vice president race will be listed in the executive vice president race. And any candidate who wins the president or the executive vice president race will, their votes will be immediately transferred into the single transferable vote system to the second highest ranked candidate on the voters who voted for them in the undesignated.
In that race.
In the undesignated.
Okay. Race. And I want language.
So that.
Thank you.
I did it. Okay.
All right, so Dale.
I think we are still in the colleagues' motion.
Which I'm still.
The problem with all of that is still that the charter is confusing and will continue that confusion because it needs to be abundantly clear somewhere that the president and executive vice president are undesignated at large. Because that's the way the charter is written. And the lack of that being clear anywhere, which is what one is trying to do here, causes confusion constantly.
Okay, right. That's one of the things.
Yeah. Can it be internal policy?
No.
On like how to run the race?
Right, so
until you make that clarification, it can.
Why don't we not internal policy. Add one that says like the executive vice president and the president are
automatically. Well, I think what we should do is like instead of saying reserve, that is reserved.
Yeah, that's what they have.
Instead like that. So instead of saying that, like it should be two of the designated at-large representative seats. Qualified for. Just are directly elected seats of the president and the executive vice. Like the word are.
Yeah.
Like that shows like so two of the six. Like because it says it's essentially six of those. Yeah. So why don't we make it?
Yeah.
So do you mind if I make the amendment?
Okay.
So my motion to amend language to say two of the six undesignated at-large representative seats are for. No, just are. Like they are for the directly elected. Yep, so that's my language. So.
I love
Did you write it?
I love this.
Yeah. And can we take out 2 and 3 then?
Yeah, we can take out 2.
If you take someone, Gabe's suggestions to clarify 4.
Well, I don't want to write. We can clarify. I think we should, can we just remove 2 and 3 right now, and then we can re.
Yeah. For now, I'll just listen to the strike through.
Yeah.
Point
of inquiry. So what if both president and
then
there's president and the.
So how many
undesignated?
Four.
Four.
Well, there's still 6 total counting the president.
Because they're automatically, they're like already the undesignated reps.
What if nobody runs?
Well, that's not that.
These are all off awesome. Counts.
Then we don't have any VPs.
So under four.
But would there be five?
So under four.
No, there's 6, and we have a special election in the fall. Bruins.
So under four, all candidates running for any undesignated at-large seat, comma, including the president and the EVP.
Yeah. All of you.
I would say yes. Including those running for president.
That's fine.
Yep, that's fine, yeah.
Comma, will be listed as undesignated at-large candidates on the ballot.
I would say in the undesignated at-large.
Okay.
That's
yep. And then write the transfer over afterwards.
Is that not in here somewhere else?
It's in the charter.
Yeah, it's not in there.
Oh, it was right? Used to be in here. I don't know why they get rid of it. Okay, yeah, we'll put it in there.
So what are you doing right now?
So what we're doing is we're clarifying that transferable system.
Yes.
So that if you are a candidate for EVP or president and you don't win that race, then your votes, if you do win that race, your votes are transferred to the second highest, or people that mark to the, you see what I'm saying?
No.
Okay,
well,
so.
I would add another clause and say these races, the president needs to be and I'm also removing this. I don't know why it's here. The thing about the calendar. Again, I took the language that is directly in the election.
So John, is like what the language should be addressing is the fact that like if you won the presidency, all the votes that went to you, all the people that said number one under the undesignated ballot, those votes should be transferred to the number two person that they marked.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right, Travis.
Can we clarify the transferable vote part?
I just put it in there. Can you better language?
All candidates. No. What I'm saying is we have to clarify that it's transferred from the president losers and the
your party system
to the second highest.
Looks like you won't be getting your party system.
What?
I guess there'll be no parties. No, I don't think people want it.
Yeah.
We're finally on the same page.
What?
All right, Travis, can you go forward with the document?
I don't know.
What's next?
All right. Article 2 is now Article 3. And then after that, small little line in Section B about Elections Committee interpretation and intent relies with the current sitting Elections Committee. And then, any questions?
Did you have to vote?
Yeah, can we do a straw poll vote on this?
All right, all those in favor.
To the next choice can't, like,
yeah.
I don't.
Just put
the next highest ranked.
So if I want to be undesignated and if I just run, like, to be the president, like, that's a surefire way.
It's not a surefire way.
In the past,
No, in the past it wasn't.
No, no, no. I think she's talking about like saying like if you run for president and then you just drop down to undesigned, you're saying you're a surefire win, right, Grace?
No, it's like, yeah.
No, that's what she's saying, but
no.
No, 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 no. It's a separate ballot of like yeah. Gabe said. Would you call it single?
Single transferable vote,
meaning like the name is now on the undesignated section. So like if people who are running for president, you just drop down. But then if you win president, your votes are striked, and then they go based off of the drop down.
The votes for the undesignated.
Yeah.
So if you're running for president, you'll be listed on. Let's say you're running for president, you'll be listed on the president.
How does?
And you'll also be listed on the undesignated at large.
Okay. Okay.
If you win the presidency, you'll be removed from the undesignated at large.
Yes.
If you lose the presidency, you will have had a few minutes.
How do you explain this to the public? Like, whose job is that? Elections,
okay, I think she understands. So we're going to do a vote, okay? So all those in favor?
Of what?
Of this amendment.
Sorry.
12. All those against? Abstentions? 12, 0 to 1?
13, 1.
Okay, 13.
Yeah.
13, 0 to 0 passes. Yes. All right. Travis.
All right. So, like I said.
Also, can I have a motion to extend the meeting?
No.
But because.
Hard dissent.
Well, I mean, we already passed it, so I mean.
We're debating the whole
meeting. Huh?
If we extend the meeting to 8 o'clock, it will somehow end up at 4 on the floor.
Sounds good.
I
have to go at like 7:30.
I would like to leave at 7.
Yeah, we would all like to leave, so let's start.
I know you ain't gonna don't. I ain't trying to come for the press. Oh, the paper ain't here. Junk.
Huh?
Paper ain't here to write this down, though.
What does that mean?
We ending at 7.
No, I want you to. But the 6.
Is that? We get that on camera.
Wait, what does that mean?
You got that right. You got that right, Johnny boy. Put that in the notes.
Wait, what does that mean?
Come on.
Okay. So go down to Article 3.
I don't know what that means.
We added line 4. It's just saying that the intended interpretation lies with the sitting elections committee.
Oh, God.
I move to strike intent and.
Oh. Dissent?
Second. Is there any dissent?
Wait, was that a motion?
Dissent.
To...
Mark,
strike intent and. I think it's sorry to say that.
Really? Because that was thrown into question numerous times throughout this election process, that the intent of what was written was not how the current elections committee interpreted it. And that completely undermined us throughout the process. So both words need to be present. That's my response.
It's physically impossible.
No, it's not. It's not. No, think about it. Throughout this process, Chris, you guys referred to a person who...
Travis has the floor.
Like,
yeah, what are you doing?
Like, realize that intent was referred back to by who wrote it. And then interpretation was just saying, because the interpretation is not the intent, it was undermined throughout this process. Matt Henderson was brought up, and I consistently have said it's been demeaning. No other DOE has had to refer back to a former DOE throughout the process.
I understand how this could have been something.
Wait, Chris, so I'll put you in the speakers list, Kip.
So two things. So one, like Gail's point is it's just like metaphysically impossible for like an entity to determine the intent of something that to determine the intent of a group of people that were like that they are not. Like that
so,
can't be the case.
Okay. So question then. Question
like,
point of information.
That's the first thing.
So we could just strike intent. So you're just saying strike intent.
No,
right?
He's not saying that. Dale's amendment was to strike intent and. And I agree with that, but I want to take it even further.
I withdraw my amendment.
So what's your amendment?
So what I would propose is like striking that whole thing because like giving the elections committee the ability
any power.
Wait, let him finish.
to both interpret and enforce the election rules gives a rogue elections committee the ability.
No. So we fixed. So. We went over this. So at the end of the elections rules, we made amendments that would give a check against the elections committee.
Okay, but that's in the elections rules. So that language would give the elections committee the ability to say, well, we're determining that the intent, we're interpreting the intent.
No, we made a very clear.
They could do it.
Look. If you strike intent, they'll refer back to me as a former DOE, and I will relay that.
He wants to strike interpretations.
Yeah, no,
no,
I think we should strike it all.
No, then what's the point of having an elections committee?
To enforce the
to
rules.
Enforce as two elections committee
members. But the thing is,
to act as a judicial check on the elections.
The DCC is not supposed to always step in, though. That's like the highest possible power.
That's correct.
Yeah, so I want you guys to all think about this. So, Travis, the thing is, like, I understand that there was a controversy with this specific elections committee, but the thing is, don't think about this as like the same elections committee. Like, it's not going to be the same elections committee.
No,
right?
He's on the elections committee. Write that down.
Okay, yes, I'm on the elections committee now. But so you know what I'm saying? So I think if there was no fiasco of like.
Yeah, strike.
No, I'm not saying it's anyone's fault, but there was a fiasco. That's true. So if the fiasco did not exist, then we would not be talking about this, right?
That's right, but there was.
Yeah, but there was, but thing is, we added checks at the end. Let's first review that, okay?
His point is that this gives the elections committee the power to overrule those checks.
So there's another section of the election rules. The elections committee, under no circumstances, can overrule the election rules. If you put this rule in, this gives the elections committee the ability to say, well, we're interpreting the intent of that to mean that we can overrule the elections rules and we can overrule the JCC.
So how can the elections committee enforce anything if they can't make
it? Just do it. And then
really, because you overran us. You did.
Wait,
no, the JCC did.
Wait. Let me talk first and then the public. Yeah? So the thing is, how can the elections committee enforce a decision if they can't interpret the rules to make a certain decision?
The same way every executive branch
The same way by
stripping us of our power by a higher body?
Yes, that's what happens when the executive branch
does
things that are against the law.
We didn't do that.
Okay, guys. All right, Natalia. Dale, I didn't call on you. Dale, did I call on you? I didn't call on you. Yeah, I didn't call on you. So Natalia, I called on you. So you can talk.
I'm fine with taking out intent, but not interpretation. I think.
But it's the same
thing. No,
it's not the same thing.
Interpretation is not the same thing. They can't guess.
It's not the same thing.
Whoever wrote the thing, but they can interpret the things that are written down.
So the first issue with like obviously I disagree with this being put in there. But when it comes to intent, the issue that you brought up about saying like you can't find the intent, like. If you want to apply the rules correctly, you should be required to figure out that intent, right? Like, you can interpret it, but if there's an appeal made and someone, like, discovers that the intent was different, like, you should be able to, like, go back and check with the executive archivist. You should be able to check with the Office of Assemblies. You should be able to look through historical information and find that intent, right? Like, there is a possibility to find the intent. Like, intent has a very particular definition that people are like just acting like that definition isn't the definition of the word. On top of that, it's important to recognize that this is very contradictory of the language that's at the end of this during the challenge review meeting sessions.
All right, so I think what will fix this is basically making exception to this rule up to the finality clause, right? I mean we got rid of the finality clause, but that section where it says the JCC has a final authority, because it says that at the end.
No, they're saying this. They're saying that, like, even if you say the JCC has power, that the elections committee can interpret it to say.
Exactly. No, so I'm saying.
Well,
that's
crazy.
No, I'm sorry.
You can do that. Like, we have to look at edge cases, like, for everything.
Okay,
in that case, you can respond.
Yeah,
but
like, there is, okay. So maybe then you can, but I just think Bruin's example of, like, finding intent is just ridiculous. Like, no executive archivist has access to every single email. In addition, people keep referencing the Office of Assemblies. I would like to reference the fact that in the past, the Office of Assemblies was heavily more staffed than having two people. Like, to put this burden on them when that is not their job. This is the only student organization I know that has a whole damn office designated towards them. So I just don't think it's fair to say that they need to be searching through emails. Like, at the end of the day, the elections committee has to be empowered in some sense to interpret the rules that they write every semester that you vote on, to take away all interpretation powers because that was denied of them in this process. If the rules were ambiguous prior, you guys stripped the elections committee's ability to interpret them, despite the fact that multiple parties said opposite things. So let's just reference that. If we're going to talk about it, then reference the fact that you guys stripped the committee of their ability to do that. So by the words interpret not being put in this document, every committee moving forward is disempowered from being able to interpret the rules based off of the precedent that was set by the student assembly.
Yeah, so I do agree that, so I think that because of what happened in this election, there's like an overreaction. Like the elections committee should have the ability to interpret their own rules.
Yeah. So I think the point is that the elections committee as an executive body essentially shouldn't have the power to interpret. No SA committee has the power to interpret government documents. But there is one time when the elections committee does functionally act as judiciary. So I would want to say here, and you might disagree with me still, I would say during a challenge review meeting, the interpretation of the election rules will lie with the sitting elections.
I like
say,
that.
Within the confines of that meeting, you have absolute power to interpret ambiguous language and decide whether a candidate will.
Okay, that makes
but
sense.
Other times, you can't look at something in the rules and say, this isn't what it says.
Motion to amend thusly.
Second.
Okay.
Motion
all right.
Vote.
All those in favor. Can you restate that? Yes. Or can you just type it up so you can see?
Yeah. During a challenge.
Wait, does it fit there?
Yeah, because this is under the elections committee.
No, just that clause. Do they reference it?
Why is this about that?
Because
about? Challenge review meeting is like a definition of right. Election rules. Yeah. Elections committee.
That's just being funny.
It
wasn't funny.
Not even close.
Hold on.
It's triggering at
it, it's okay. It was kind of funny.
Yeah.
Kind of. Yeah.
Out of order from the chair. Out of order.
If y'all were women, I would say we were swimming.
What?
No, I mean, I think it was too much.
Yeah.
All y'all though. All y'all.
What?
Hell, motherfucker.
Hey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. <true.
laughs> Damn, let them know, fam. Oh, God, yeah. Man,
you
better be good, because two lives ain't going to get you through this.
You ran out of them quickly.
Okay.
All right. Yes.
Yes.
That's not a challenge hearing.
Yeah, so that's not a challenge. There's like one step after. Yeah. So all those in favor. Zach.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
13, 0, 2, 1, it
passes. Oh, hell yeah. Theoretically.
So,
theoretically, yes.
Jung, you should vote in favor.
Can we?
Huh?
Question. Yeah, you should vote in favor. Yeah,
I did. Guys.
Then who's the one?
So, inquiry?
13 to 0 to 0.
Oh, yeah, I meant 13 to 0 to 0.
Yeah, he did.
So I said that.
I have an inquiry. Would it make sense to put, because like we're discussing and we're saying like the JCC's like decision-making process is separate from this, but my concern is that like we understand that right now, but I'm wondering if like future assemblies will understand that. Can we put that into that same direction?
Can you repeat that? Like what won't they understand in the future?
The fact that the JCC like process and like decision making is outside of this.
So just the JCC process right there?
Yeah, or just after that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's the exact language you want?
The JCC's review of the like submitted challenge, yeah, lies.
Or just make like lies outside of this interpretation. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or the elections committee interpretation.
Yeah. Okay. The JC final language, the JCC's decision making process
lies outside of, yeah.
Is not required to include the interpretation of.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
No, just what you said before.
Lies outside of
it. Yeah, lies outside of this. This.
Of the elections committees and jobs.
It's independent. Yeah, that's good. Oh, the hard question. Oh, is it hard? Sure, I mean, challenge for people. I think we've planned for this. I feel
like gay thing is hard.
Well, okay, well, let's do that later. So,
we have
to vote in favor of it. So, is that a motion?
I guess.
All right.
What is it?
Go back to
like, can you guys sit so you guys can see the board?
If there's no dissent, I ask this be included with the other.
Oh, okay, yeah.
All right, although, so any dissent?
Chair is not voting member unless
they have time. All right, is any dissent? If not, then
oh, like
we will adopt this. All right, next, Travis. Next. Travis. Travis. Next
section. Okay. The challenge that you're hearing, we took out, we just try to simplify the process, like, in terms of just.
Okay.
Yeah. The only part that was specifically quantified, and I would like to hear debate on this, is this part, which is if committee finds that either single substantiate. Oh, so okay, this yeah, this part I think people need to read. If the committee finds that either single substantiated violation or that a combination of substantiated violations should require the disqualification of a candidate, with at least 7 members of the elections committee in the affirmative, may disqualify the candidate.
So before we go to this, I'm going to make a motion to amend LUD 328. So that is, that's where we were before.
So many directions in the world, Travis.
So
many directions.
Section
I'm a righty.
Five. Now. Okay. So my motion to amend this is going to probably influence the numbers. That's why it makes sense. So right now it says,
Evan, can you pull side
right side. Now it says if a member of the elections committee sits on the executive board of an organization who chooses to endorse a candidate, the committee members are required to recuse themselves from any challenge hearing involving that endorsed candidate. And so my amendment is to add the language afterwards, after like before the period, that says or their opponent. In parentheses, S.
Oh, wait. There's a better way to do this.
Okay.
Dale?
So I think we should take a straw poll after I explain something that I was going to move to amend this section to basically say that candidates cannot sit on executive boards and endorse candidates. That endorse. Elections committee members cannot sit on executive boards and endorse candidates. Up until last year, that was the rule. If an elections committee member sat on the executive board of an organization, either that executive board did not endorse candidates in elections, or they have to resign from the elections committee or resign from that executive board if that executive board did endorse candidates.
But then, through, by that logic, someone could literally just like resign right before the, yeah.
Right, they could, but historically what happened is those executive boards just wouldn't endorse candidates. And I think that would create less worry about conflict of interest.
Yeah, so I think an example that Trevor just told me was like Jordan Berger, for example, right? She resigned right before to endorse Ryan Dimini.
And that's inappropriate.
Yeah, that's inappropriate.
Right.
So we're trying to block that.
But I think no matter what this creates a problem with, if let's say like the elections committee that disqualified Bruce, just forget about specifics, but if everybody had accused themselves properly, it would become a 7-member committee with no chair. I don't think that's acceptable. I think we can find 10 students on campus that aren't members of these executive boards. Or I mean that's what Jordan Berger did, she would have still had to resign. That's set for me being on the executive board of an organization. Like, she was going to resign, but the elections committee was going to endorse the candidate.
You used my example wrong. I was saying why you were right.
Oh, my bad.
And I think it's what Varun's doing is like essentially trying to put a patch again on this amendment that was made last year.
No, I like Varun's amendment.
Right, and it's a good patch, but I think it doesn't solve the problem. Well, you could have a case where the entire elections committee has to recuse itself, and then you can't have a challenge here against a candidate. I think we are bigger enough.
Yeah.
We are acting under the assumption that the only 10 qualified elections committee members we're going to get are going to be from the people or organizations that endorse candidates. And that's absurd. There are 14,000 undergrads. The fact that we can't open up this process
y'all can't get more than
10 impartially individuals is an absurd concept. And so I was going to move to amend to restore language similar to what was there 2 years ago, that elections committee members cannot sit on keyboards and endorse candidates.
So I'm gonna remove my amendment. Can you make your amendment? And then
give us that to say.
Yeah, could we just make the elections committee like the lending library keyboard?
Please, shut the fuck up.
My amendment to like what Dale's saying is like, I want to discuss it.
All right, guys.
My amendment
thanks for the money, though, Gabe. Thanks for the money.
All right.
So, guys, can we make it quicker?
Yeah, thank you.
Guys, let everyone talk.
So, Dale, do you want to put the language in?
It's in there if you want to.
Okay. So, in regards to this language, this is very, like, you could have another Jordan Berger situation. Like, I think that's inappropriate, and I think it's inappropriate for, like, someone to step down from an e-board that endorsed, like, or is planning on endorsing, like,
but
right before.
But I'm saying the same thing could apply to anyone.
So what I'm saying is, in order to avoid this circumstance, I think it's beneficial to, like, the integrity of the elections committee, the people that are sitting there to be able to, like, rule without worrying about, like, these, like, things that shouldn't be affecting them or these outside influencers. In order to allow for that, I think that the individual sitting on the elections committee should be required, like, if they're on the e-board, that e-board cannot endorse, but also if they're on that e-board for the semester, I think it's inappropriate for them to, like, for that e-board to endorse. Like, say, like, I'm on, like Alana.
Like
e-board.
A year calendar as opposed to semester year. So like, you're saying year,
so
like,
say,
January to December as opposed to academic year calendar.
I get it. I don't know what I'm saying specifically because we can discuss that, but what I'm saying, like, right now in my mind is, like, if I'm on the Alana e-board, and I'm on the elections, and so, like, it's, like, January, and, like, elections are coming up, I think it's inappropriate for me to step down from my Alana e-board position just so Alana can endorse. Like,
to start, you want me to
I disagree, because that's taking away autonomy from organ, like, I don't know, like...
No, but there needs to
but
be...
But you're saying just to serve on the elections committee, but that the board then still can't endorse? I don't think we can place that type of restriction on a student organization.
No, so
that
so no, so we should, so the elections committee should not pick those people in the first place.
Yeah. Exactly. The people that are running for the elections committee should be, like, the most independent people possible, right?
Yeah.
And so if you're part of an organization that's planning to endorse and you're, like, participatory right up until, like, the challenge hearing process, it's inappropriate because it's essentially the same thing where you played a role in that endorsement, like, right up until you, like, needed not to.
I disagree. Can I respond? The only reason why I disagree is because fundamentally, like, that's like saying to somebody who's on a board but wants to get involved in the student assembly through the elections committee that if they step down from that board, then that board doesn't have the autonomy to that still endorse.
No, if they step down and they can endorse.
No. He's saying under this, if you are on, like, CAPSU's e-board, right?
Yeah.
And you joined elections committee and you left CAPSU's e-board, CAPSU can still not endorse.
No. That's only if, like, it's during that semester.
So you're saying, like, oh, okay.
So, like, I'm saying, like, the semester of elections.
Yeah.
So are you,
like,
going to stop an organization from endorsing them?
No, Travis. So the thing is, so if we, like, if you're the BOU again, let's say, right? And when you're soliciting applications, if someone is on the e-board of CAPSU, because you want to know, right, on their application, like, what else are you involved in, then you should not pick that person to
or
be on
that
election committee.
Should be willing to step
down. Exactly.
So that
no organization has to recuse themselves from endorsing.
So to clarify, are we saying to be on the elections committee?
The e-board of endorsing organization.
During the semester
of election, yeah.
What I'm trying to do is help you. Like,
I understand, but I'm just saying, like, I don't, if somebody steps down, I'm just saying, like, mid-year from an organization originally where they were fine with, and then that person maybe left because it just wasn't working out, I don't necessarily know that we can then tell Alana, you can't endorse it.
That's the language.
We have to draw some sort of line.
I do agree, though. There are so many other students on this campus. I'm sure we can find people without people.
It's actually pretty hard to get applications. Like,
oh, really? We did. I think it was like 15.
Okay.
But that was after we extended the deadline like twice.
It's actually pretty hard.
I think that was a failure on the PR of the student.
Yeah.
But what about
we,
even, no, 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 hey, guys. Also, I'm talking. Everyone, I'm talking. So even for Austin McLaughlin, I mean, actually, that's a special case. Please. But do you know the numbers for, like, when Maha was DOE versus, like,
high.
It was high?
Yeah, it was high.
Like, how high?
Like, I think it was, like,
20. 20, that's pretty high. All
right. Five more.
Like, 20s.
Going to rejecting more than half the grapples.
That's pretty high.
My year, I got, like, 30, 40 applications just for 50%. Academic policy.
Okay, we're talking about elections right now.
Well, I think that's the state.
Okay, but regardless, let's...
Cheap.
Guys, so let's put this up to a vote. All right, so...
So proposed language, I guess, like, to add to this, under 325, election committee members may not sit on the executive board of organizations during the semester of the election, or... Yeah, we can put a comma.
Why is there of
an organization? Oh, that's confusing.
Of a organization.
I would say of executive board, of the organization.
Oh, yeah, these people may be popular, you know?
Okay.
Organization singular.
I don't think you have to specify, every semester there's something.
Executive board of an organization is singular.
What?
That endorses candidates.
Oh, you want to sit there?
Yeah.
That's it.
Jung.
Or I would say, and that's what you're getting into. But, it's always during a semester in which, how do you want to raise
that? So,
let's get language first and then we'll come back to it, okay? Let's go forward.
Well, I think, we're going to be predominantly discussing this language as well as, the language of the I think we have, a lot to say about the future.
During a semester with that organization,
that's the year, yeah.
Well, there's an election every semester.
That's the exactly. It's the year, yeah.
So I guess what I'm trying. Oh, go ahead.
Since we don't have a forum,
but
we're not
going to
get one anytime soon,
why are
these things
going to happen? So we're collecting the shuffle, right?
Yeah,
so we're going to mail out these amendments to the rest of the email chain, and then get enough votes through our email. Yeah. And adopt it all at once.
So
Dr. Davis, I'm so mad at you.
So if an elections committee member does sit or sat on during the semester of the election. So if you sit on the board during the fall 2016 and then you remove yourself right before the election begins, that e-board would be able to endorse.
Okay. So if an elections committee member does sit on the executive board organization or sat on that executive board during any election in the same student assembly term. So we have all elections, special elections.
No more special. I think that should be written in.
No, but we have to have special.
That's in the charter.
Special.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so where it says, line 325, it says, if an elections committee member, and then after that, I think it should say, sits or previously sat on during the current, or during the semester of this election.
Sits on a different organization during the election.
Sits on a different organization for sat on the election.
Yeah. Semester of the election.
Well, I think we can say this election because at the bottom it says fall 2018 through December election.
But there could be multiple elections.
Just leave it. Now, in addition, may not endorse candidates in the election report out as a commission member must reside in the time.
That organization may not endorse candidates at the same election.
Hi, friends.
Or the elections committee member must reside.
Yeah, okay. All
right,
is that good?
I move for a straw poll.
All right, is there any dissent? Any dissent? Well, I asked who dissented. Okay, then, by unanimous consent, we'll adopt this, okay?
All right,
next section, Travis.
Oh my god, there's Nick.
Oh.
Okay, now we don't have to worry about the numbers.
Challenge. Oh, well, do you guys want 7?
I think now 7 is a good number, but now we are 0.
Yeah.
What is that?
Okay. So then the next section, if that section is fine. Oh, so the only thing is like this, and this is something that was more made clear, was just under challenge review hearing that you can look at an individual claim or the totality of the circumstances. So if there are other claims against
a candidate, they're going to say, like, maybe individually they didn't have any impact, but collectively they did. And that was there written before, but now it's, like, more clearly mentioned.
The summary clause at the bottom was removed because it actually kind of contradicted and using two clauses.
Yeah. And so this just basically says, like, well, DQ could be, and it makes sense to disqualify, like, if there was, if it made an election unfair.
Yeah.
So I have a question.
Yes.
So
I'll come back. For written report, what? For written report, section 7.
Wait, can you hear that? Yeah.
I'm wondering, like, why is it? Why is that? Like, this might, there might be a reason for it. What is the reason for it to be like not disclosed, or it's only disclosed to the challenger? Is there a way? Because I feel like for some voters, maybe they want to see, like, what happened. I read on the Sun that there was a
reason. So the reason is because like the report has a name of the challenger, and it's to, I think, protect that person. Yeah, because there was an instance where in the freshman race actually of last semester, someone like leaked who that person was that challenged that person, and that person was like ostracized by like community.
Is there a way we can like if he released the report, how about maybe you make it an optional thing, like one of the parties, the challenger or the challengee, if they would like to.
Wait, hold on. Can someone turn that off? Thank you. There you go.
I think the solution would be in the secretary just putting up for anything to be made by the office of election, as when the presidential candidate was disqualified 5 years ago, the entire 5-page report was made public. I think we can specify that the director of elections had the power to redact information that would be like the name.
Okay.
I have a motion to amend under section 7, part 1.
Yeah.
Scroll down the written report.
I'm
good with challenger. So where it says under the second part, it says for the second line of that paragraph, delegated by the director will create a written report summarizing the challenges, the decision made, blah blah blah. I think instead of summarizing, it should say thoroughly detailing, because I think like that was one of the issues that the JCC found with the previous reports, and you said yourself, like, every elections committee does it differently. Yeah. Like, when it came to the one 5 years ago, like, there was a thorough report, and I think that was, like, very beneficial to the elections committees, like, being able to say, like,
that's
this
fair.
Is why it was done.
Yeah.
So, I'm just going to motion to amend, strike summarizing, replace with thoroughly detailing.
Wait, so does that make sense?
No, I didn't dissent.
Thoroughly detailing with all the vote counts.
Yeah.
All right.
No,
is there
any counts where listed?
No.
Vote tallies listed.
Okay. So I guess like I want to amend that amendment as well.
Okay.
Just make an amendment.
Right now it's reads thoroughly detailing with all amendments vote counts listed. Is that correct?
Yeah.
I think that the vote counts for part one and part two should also be like that should be
separated.
Clarified.
Yeah.
Like the bifurcated voting process needs
yeah.
to be like very clear in that voting out.
I agree with that. So
okay.
Is there any dissent? If there isn't, then by unanimous consent.
Do you have a specific language or is all vote counts?
I don't think that's, I think that's still ambiguous.
Oh, so you need
like,
to have exact language.
I'm concerned that like, someone like, might look at that. Like, to display it.
Okay, hold on. It said we made a written report thoroughly detailing the challenges.
Motion to straw poll vote on this.
Second.
Unanimous consent.
Second.
All right, no dissent, then it's been done. 13-0-0.
Okay.
So are we going to add the part where the DOE can disclose?
It's already there.
Yeah,
we
just
specify further that they can redact the
yeah.
parties that are not challenged.
All right, Chris. All right.
Oh.
I think that's what we're talking about, but that's the last part.
We've got to
get to the
basic section. I want to make a motion to make an amendment to the beginning of the reconsideration part. Like, the must submit a request in writing to the Office of Assemblies, the email to the Assembly at Cornell.edu, and to the Director of Elections, just so that document is just coming to us. And, like, it's easier to send to the committee.
My only question, I guess, with that, because I think that's fine, like just personally, I think that's fine. For Pam, I know, like, when I sent my appeal to get something to both the Office of Assemblies and the JCC directly, like, I personally think it's better that I send it directly, but also, like, do you find it necessary for the, like, maintenance of documentation? Is that why?
Yeah, it's just, we have nothing to do other than you just tell us the time record.
So there wouldn't be anything bad about saying both OA and.
Yeah, no, and also like the JCC process changed a little bit, so that will also be addressed then.
All right.
Motion to vote by unanimous consent.
All right, no dissent, then it's been done.
All right, that's where you going?
All right, Travis, good.
Oh, okay.
Go on.
So the next part,
it's the same section, it's just to the JCC, you know, our home.
Actually, me and Kendall are pretty good right now, you know? We may grab call.
Well, she's not the JCC anymore.
She didn't graduate yet.
She still is.
All right.
Okay.
So, the next part is, we redid the whole JCC process just because the elections committee felt like we never got a chance to respond. And by now, moving the process of how it's submitted to the JCC process, the elections committee now has a chance to address that. In addition, no additional materials will be sent to the JCC. So just in general. So the first part is, in terms of the reconsideration, so after the initial disqualification, the candidate that's been disqualified when requesting the reconsideration report addressing it will also detail the specific points where the elections committee failed to follow procedures in the election rules. So that's where, like, anything that wasn't in the elections committee rules, a disqualified candidate felt that it wasn't followed, they can easily state that. And then once the committee receives, there'll be then, like,
so when it says, like, in detail the specific points where they failed to follow procedures, by procedures, I guess, like, this is for the initial appeal, right?
Yes.
Right. So what I'm wondering is, does procedures allow for that the way that's written allow for you to come in with, like, new information?
What do you mean?
So right now, like, it says procedures, and, like, procedures is, like, very, like, what's the process, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. But, like, my issue with that is that you have 15 minutes, like, to come up with an argument why you're not, why you shouldn't be disqualified for the initial hearing. Like, you get your, like, challenge at, like, 4 o'clock, you have a meeting at 4:30 or something, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, I feel like it's, like, inappropriate to expect someone to, like, come up with a very coherent, solid argument why they're innocent of a challenge for their first hearing. And then, like, the appeals hearing allows for you not only to, like, deal with the fact that there might have been procedural issues, but also, like, if there's, like, additional information that you've, like, discovered, or, like, the fact that you didn't have enough time to look at the rules and see why you're being accused of, like, you might be in class right before. Like, mm-hmm. That creates a scenario where you aren't able to, like, create a compelling argument. And so I find that if we're making it for the appeals process to say, like, the appeal is only specific to the process, like...
No, it's not. The appeal's specific to both parts. But it's, like, you also will address process there.
Right, right. But can we... The way that it...
The specific findings and...
I think that's just going to follow...
And how about... And may
it says that, Chris.
Well, it says specific points about the procedures. Like,
and it says
like,
it should detail that, as if the reconsideration is supposed to.
Like the way that it's written right now makes it look as though the whole purpose of the reconsideration is about the process, when it should be about more than process.
Or at the very least, it has to include the process.
Right.
And or?
Just fail to follow the election. I mean, process is part of the election.
Well, then we should strike the word procedures.
Yeah, exactly.
And get rid of procedures fail to correctly enforce these elections.
Yeah, I think that's a
perfect point.
Okay. Wait, follow and enforce it.
Yes,
okay. Yeah.
Okay. So, motion to amend it to say, and should detail the specific points where the elections committee failed to enforce these elections.
I'm going to say failed to correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Take out. Yeah.
Procedures. Take out procedures. No, keep it.
What? Do you want it in or out?
Does that make sense?
All right, so is there a motion?
Motion
to
vote.
Second.
Any dissent?
No.
All right, then it's passed.
Okay. So then committee will convene.
So that's 12-0.
What?
Oh.
I want Dale to report that.
Again, we will convene. Does anybody
have a problem with the
report? Okay. So number...
No,
Dale, did you? You had an amendment for number 3.
I don't have an amendment ready. The Sun reporter came to me, and his problem was going to be different than Bruce, I think. But his problem was that.
Excuse, you don't make assumptions about people in the room.
His problem is just different than Bruce.
All right, Dale has a floor.
What's my problem?
Your problem is that it's only ruling on the same initial report. And so,
why are you
as if he raised it, Dale.
No, I was thinking of
it. I came to him with the Sun's problem. The Sun's problem is the ambiguity in the language is business and JCC has overturned the committee for actually a broader amount of things than the initial rules that we're changing. But we really only want the JCC to be ruling if the elections committee followed procedure.
So I think, if I may just speak on behalf, right? You could answer later, is that the reason why we changed it is because if a candidate broke a rule, and then the elections committee also screwed up in the procedures, then if the JCC overturns the elections committee, it should be like so even if the elections committee screwed up, the candidate might still have broken a rule. You know what I'm saying? But then but if the elections committee is overturned because they did something wrong in the procedures, then the person who broke the rule is okay.
No, I'm saying the JCC can now overturn the elections committee for anything the way this is written. That's not good.
Yeah. Dale showed it to me. I agree with Dale. Yeah.
Wait, can you elaborate?
So the way this is written, it basically says if the JCC deems that there's merit,
yeah,
so you can overturn the elections for he or that.
Yeah.
That's not good. That's basically, what is merit?
In other words, in any case, not just can somebody propose language to change it?
Yeah. Let's read through this.
Okay.
Varun, you should bring up your.
I sorry. Well, then more should be added.
Wait, Gabe, talk.
Yeah. So I think that.
Can we quickly, before we move on, agree that finality and confidentiality are fine?
Yeah, we got rid of it, right?
Yeah.
We got rid of finality.
Does anyone have any qualms with
that?
Yeah.
Because that means that we're done after.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Change to confidentiality.
Yeah, you didn't edit it.
Yeah, number 2.
I would just add to number 1, the director of elections may release confidential information. And may redact the
name. No, not may redact, and must redact.
Yeah.
And must redact the names of all individuals who are not the challenge candidate.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, and then.
Is this only when it's released publicly? Because, like, I guess, like, in the court of law or anything, like, you have the right to know who the accuser is?
Well, no, because I think separate than the candidate always has that report that's always sent to both parties. So the candidate will always know.
Right. But since this puts in that redact phrase, like I'm wondering if people might misconstrue.
But I feel like even, so then do you consider it when it's sitting in the Office of Assemblies at public release?
No, so this is only when publicly releasing confidential information.
No, see, that's what I'm saying is separate. That's why I think it's different because.
Right, so I just added those words.
No. But like I'm saying, like, I think it should be redacted even in the office. because I don't understand why somebody, what's the difference then of the sun coming in, no shade, but what's the difference then of the sun coming in to see documents and then releasing that information publicly?
Okay, hold on. It's somewhere else in here where it's listed. So, there's another mention. Oh, 20 mentions.
That's the repo. I'm trying to protect people.
Yeah, but there's a place where it lists how the documents will be stored.
Doesn't say names are redacted.
No, it doesn't. So we probably want to.
But that's what I'm saying there. Like, if you consider that publicly releasing, then that's fine. So you could say publicly release and when in the office of assemblies.
Well, I actually put it in when the document store comes.
Okay.
A copy with all names.
Oh no,
I think my computer's dying.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no. Plug it in, boy. Oh my god, is it saved?
Oh my god, is it saved?
Is it saved?
It says saving. Oh my god.
Mayday, mayday, mayday. Dale, if you keep me here, I will.
Are you going?
Right here.
You got it.
Somebody move this camera.
Yes.
Move the camera, please.
Oh no.
Somebody move the camera.
Oh, I was gonna go like this.
What? You were gonna go like that? Like,
my heart?
Ooh, like.
No, no, I need
to.
Yeah.
I'm trying to look cute for
Vixen. I look cute for Vixen.
Okay, but look at.
You want your jacket?
You look like a
semi-sport.
What?
It's just his clothes.
Oh, great. Do you need a jacket?
Do you have a jacket?
You want mine?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Wow, you're so gentle.
Instead of giving up your paddock on the next
game. I'm ready, like, nothing is...
Okay, wait,
what's
happening?
Travis, I'll put my paddock in my next campaign finance report.
Please, because they're going to get you. They're going to get you. Bro, don't lie. Act as if that wasn't a good laugh. With the
oh, my God.
Don't act like that wasn't a good laugh. His face was shook. He said, wait, wait, I don't understand. Like, when I owned it.
When I owned it.
You have to admit, it's clever.
It was not clever in the slightest.
Yes.
You're welcome.
I'm confident. It says instead of a copy is kept in the office assembly, a copy with all names other than the challenge candidate redacted is kept in the office of the assemblies.
Get it? I'm all here for protecting you.
Can you change the camera so you're the input?
Yeah, I got to rejoin that. Yeah, give me a second.
Question to clarify. It's in the office of the assembly. Is that public access?
It's public access.
Yes. Okay. Anybody?
Yeah. Although I know some reporters have been going in there like once a week and they have to be able to review the challenges against their candidates.
Oh, really? What?
You'd have to ask the office of the assembly. Like,
confidentiality.
No, we'll have to go back to the JCC part.
Yeah, you know what I'm doing. Don't worry about it.
I have been told by an individual that he's been in there numerous occasions.
Recently?
Yeah.
Wait, there's another election going on?
What?
No,
that's not under me. Confirmation?
Where's the
is that a no comment?
No.
Wait, did they know how we
can be? Where's the Zoom?
Alright, let's continue.
Travis, can you continue the discussion?
Right, okay,
Travis,
so the confidentiality part, we just striped line 2. That says, unauthorized disclosure. Oh, damn. Oh, damn. Unauthorized disclosure of confidential information may result in a disciplinary referral.
Put that on the record.
What?
All right,
decorum.
That's not cute.
You
didn't do
it.
I'm
sorry. All right,
Travis,
hurry.
I'm sorry,
Travis, go. Hello?
All right, go ahead.
So under confidentiality, if you go down.
Yeah.
We strike line two.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, the elections committee did. Yeah.
I might have given up when I was making the stop.
Which says unauthorized disclosure of confidential information may result in a disciplinary referral to the judicial administrator.
Wait, people can't get to Aiden?
No, because of, I'm glad. Interesting question. Due to the Mitch McBride precedent, no confidential information is protected by the JA office. Unless students are signing N non-disclosure agreements, that is the only time you are protected. But if somebody releases confidential information, that applies beyond the elections committee. That applies to all corners throughout this campus. So you are not protected. I'm not, but that's the truth. That's the truth. Like, that is the truth. The fact that students are not protected when they have conversations. No, because that doesn't protect students' mental health.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much. We got the idea. All right, next.
No, but that's the truth.
Yeah, we got it.
We get it. You love us like
the quote. Good question. There's not. There's like not. No.
You get fired.
No, you don't.
Okay.
Get,
can we just talk about this?
Yeah, please.
What? So this guy broke confidentiality and this whole time. Natalia, did you have a question?
No,
Who's talking right now?
Some room.
So in general, we're only looking at point three. That's the last thing that we have to discuss.
No.
Second to last thing that we have to discuss.
Yeah.
What else do we have to discuss?
Anybody have language for this?
We're going to amend
it.
Well, it's pretty easy. He said delete the whole thing. And, you know, you could say no.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wait, so is there specific language for number three? What's the issue?
So right now, the JCC won't be receiving any information concerning a reconsideration hearing where the candidate viably could be presenting new arguments that are reasonable. And that's not okay.
What?
Anything. Anything that they can have ready during the first hearing.
So you're saying after the 24 hours that were given to them?
Yeah, they can come back to the elections committee, and maybe they were really nervous during the first hearing. Maybe they didn't have certain things that they couldn't type up immediately. Now, well, so
then we run into back to the same issue that the elections committee doesn't get a chance to respond.
I think what we have is fair right now.
I'll say this. The 24-hour period is hard on us all because you guys expect a written report and nobody says, Travis, did you struggle?
They all burn and listen to Travis.
No. Okay. So my understanding, the way that it looks right now is that the only things that can be submitted to the JCC are the formal documents that were submitted to the elections committee.
That's correct.
And what was submitted by the elections committee to the candidate. And
correct.
That's it. Right. So my feeling on this is that that's inappropriate, and I understand like the hesitation on the other side of this argument, like I understand that, but my feeling is that like if that individual discovered more information about a process violation or something that occurs during the appeals hearing within the next like 24 hours and was able to put that into the like document for that JCC appeal, I think that's only fair.
Also keep
in mind, but then I think you should give the elections committee 24 hours service tomorrow.
But
then, like,
also keep in mind, like the JCC can turn the appeal down and they don't deem this new information like quality enough.
No, but no.
Thank you, John.
The JCC can just be like, well, I'm not, you know, like, they can deny me.
He's speaking in Bruins' favor.
No, my favor.
No, he's speaking in Bruins' favor.
He's saying this. The JCC at the end of the day still has the right to overturn.
Right. I'm saying like.
All right. Guys. Okay, John, we get it.
I'm reassuring Travis, and I'm also like reassuring Bruins, like, the JCC has.
No, John. We get what you're saying. So basically, what you're saying.
The process,
all right, guys.
Information, the JCC can still like deny the
case. No, so that's not the problem here. The thing that they're arguing about is that
arguing.
Who gets the final say.
Right? Discussion.
No. Not when I say the final say, I mean like who presents the new information last. So Travis is saying.
It should obviously be the candidate. They have the disadvantage.
There's no disadvantage. If it goes to
you're
JCC.
Disqualified. What do you mean?
Okay, guys. All right, Gabe.
Gabe.
So, in a sense, the challenged person has more to lose.
Yeah.
But the thing is, as far as like the JCC ruling on it, like it should be equal information.
The other thing that I do think that is like really important to consider in all of this is like whenever it comes to like a court of law, it's about like the burden of proof being on. Like the
prosecution, yeah.
Right, like the prosecution. right? And so if the burden of proof is on the prosecution, I only think it's more fair to like let the defense like make their argument about why like a violation occurred in terms of the way that a process was handled.
Yeah.
Or like if there's like new information that came out.
So here, wait, Travis, okay. So I think Travis's argument is that go ahead.
I'm just saying this, like, I think what you're saying is fair, but I'm saying that at the end of the day, like, from this case, by allowing the candidate to respond last, there was a lot of things that were left so ambiguous from the JCC report because the Elections Committee was never given the chance to formally respond. And I just think that's just the truth. Some of those allegations just were not, in fact, true.
Well, I just put in, like, after the...
Gabe's going to say it all should have been in your original report.
We didn't have the report. That's what I'm saying.
It should have all been in your original report.
So it was exactly correct.
So
when the Elections Committee makes a decision to disqualify, they're supposed to...
Is that not what I'm talking
about?
Here's
the procedure that we followed.
I understand that. That's not what I'm saying.
Wait, let Gabe talk.
I'm saying some of the allegations that Kendall was ruling on based off of what Rune had submitted in the JCC report, which is separate from the challenge process, was new information that, one, the Elections Committee had never heard of, but also, two, the Elections Committee found to be false, that we never had a chance to say to Kendall, this is incorrect.
So let's say the Elections Committee put things in their original report. The candidate appeals to the JCC and says, that report is wrong. The Elections Committee actually did this. What is the JCC?
So he's saying...
The JCC should have the right to ask questions if he or she feels fit.
They don't feel
fit. So that's the thing. So if the challenged person sends in a report that says, the Elections Committee actually did that, this, that, and that, then if the Elections Committee doesn't know that's coming, then they have nothing under defense, then the JCC will think that they don't need the chance to ask questions.
Yes, so now you're suggesting the JCC should lead an investigation,
So I was in the room when we wrote this rule. The idea was that the challenged person can kind of appeal like kind of twice, right? So first, when you're challenged,
they're not really appealing the second time. Like the second time is
it's like a reconsideration.
It's not even an appeal. Like the thing is, like the whole purpose of an appeal is so that like you can remake your case with new information to a higher body.
Yeah.
And so like with this process, like you're not able to do that.
But also like just to also reference, like the idea of the JCC was not to be something that was so in reach. It was supposed to be something so high up. There was only
so that's not a good argument.
I mean,
No, I get that, but I'm saying in the regular process of it, like, it's not supposed to be something that is just in reach. And also to say, you also reached out to them prior. So just saying, like, even before we finish, like, that shouldn't be a thought on candidates' minds. They should be believing in the process.
Right. I mean, but again, like, the JCC can't, like, just decline.
Can we have any sort of language that can compromise this?
Also,
we
reached out to them. You had asked Gina and Bam and them before we even had challenge hearings. What's the JCC process like?
I didn't reach out to the JCC.
I think asking about a process that's never been touched on before is
No, it's very much not the right to do that.
Also,
you call procedural bias.
I'm before we even had
a procedure.
First, appeal process to the Elections Committee's reconsideration because it's not an appeal process.
First, the
people.
Yeah.
All right, then by unanimous consent.
Wait,
let me see the full amendment.
Come on, John.
Hmm?
I trust that you.
Me? Everyone, can you guys sit down?
Well,
then stand over there. Osai, can you go back over?
It's still
the
problem. Everyone talk.
So, what I'm wondering...
No, I'm calling on it.
Under this like, model, it's essentially like the way that the information trickles down is like the Elections Committee says why you... Or they display information to the candidate why they're being...
Disqualified, yeah.
Potential violation. The candidate has 15, 20, 30 an hour, maybe if they're lucky, to respond and say, this is why I'm innocent. Then the Elections Committee makes a decision.
Bless.
If they decide that the individual violated the rule, the Elections Committee releases a report. Then the candidate has 24 hours to come up with information why they should be reinstated. Then the Elections Committee goes into a hearing, and then they make a decision again. If they maintain their decision, they essentially say, like, this is why you're wrong.
Yeah.
And so what I'm wondering, and if like, you're looking at this, like, from a numbers perspective, there's sort of, like, three sides on behalf of one perspective if you get to this like point, and two sides on behalf of the candidate.
So theoretically, like the is even so they have three times to respond, basically you're saying, right? But then the information that they're ruling on is the same thing.
What I'm saying is there's three times for the election committee
yeah.
and like that side of the argument.
Yeah.
To like make arguments on that behalf, right?
And then
this side, there's two sides for the candidate to be like that's not fair, that's wrong.
Okay,
like
Travis.
I disagree because the first time is not submitted by the elections committee. That's submitted by a community member. That information is new to you, but it's new to us as well. And the moment I send you that email, I just put in the time of when we're supposed to be convening. And then those same conditions that you're under is the same. We have even less time to respond. You guys are saying that you made a decision and now respond. Have this full-fledged 5-page report that you wanted in less than 24 hours. Not even less than 24 hours. You guys give us less than 2 hours to respond to something. And then you say that it's not good. So, like, I'm saying this time. No, Rune. Like, throughout your language, you're saying, like, oh, we had this much time. We're blindsided. Like, the same thing is applying to us. And that's why I'm saying that first time of when that's sent out, that's blindsided to all parties. And then once we have that information, you're notified and the time is made. The elections committee reads what's written, but then here's what the candidate says. And then we respond.
I guess, like, to go off of that, one of the things that you brought up was that time, like, where you only had so much time to make your decision and say, like, this is what you have. Like, I think it's important to recognize that the candidate also had that little time.
No. I'm just going by the language that you said. So I'm making sure that you recognize that. Because you just said this little time
right.
that we had. And I'm letting you know, we have even less time to respond. Even less time.
I'm fine with more people having more time on both sides.
Can we move elections a week earlier and then have everybody get more time?
So that would not fix the problem. If we move the whole election a week earlier,
yeah, but no.
I don't think that's Evan was saying, Gabe. That's not what Evan said, Gabe.
All right, Natalia.
Can we add, like, that both people can have this 24 hours? Because you said you only have, what, 30 minutes? Can we, like, specifically say, like, you have 24 hours?
No. This is for, like, a very.
No. So the first hearing was, like, we send an email, right?
No,
that's what he's saying, 30 minutes. That's the 30 minutes part. And that's the first part that's the burden, right?
Well, the 24 hours is burden too. I wrote like a 7,000 word essay in 24 hours.
Guys, before
also all ungraded labor.
Before we fix the timeline, assuming we're keeping relatively the same language, I want to replace the following sentence here. The JCC decides to take on the case, and the finality of the decision lies in the JCC. The son was concerned that gets the JCC way too much power. After we fix the timeline, I think the sentence should be this:
a reporter, a specific individual.
She's not offended, dog.
No,
what?
She literally, you should? Okay.
It wasn't you.
No, I know. Nothing.
All right, let's move on.
I move to amend the final sentence to be this language. If the JCC takes on a case and finds the elections committee did not correctly follow and enforce the elections rules, the JCC may overturn the decision of the elections committee.
Why does it say may?
Okay.
No, because it's the idea that they do have the choice to overturn.
Right.
That's all it's in reference.
Literally comes
yeah.
from the same like root word as the word
oh,
might, like might, like mighty.
How about may or may not?
Like,
is that better?
No.
You don't like the word may.
Can,
but,
oh.
May is sufficient.
Just make it can.
Has
the power to.
Like the issue
power
was
power
not
great.
Necessarily.
Brun talks.
That's confusing.
Yeah, Evan, I don't
Come
care.
On. Okay.
Can you let him talk? I call him. Who calls? You can talk later, okay? After Berwin talks.
The issue before wasn't that like
are you complaining
like the people that are discussing the definition of may right now that agree with it. Like it wasn't those people. Like it was that like the argument was made that may was ambiguous.
No,
like,
the argument was made the subject was ambiguous. The verb
was
never the problem.
Always. It wasn't the modality.
But the like may was also referenced.
No.
It was
not really.
No, so it was a sentence structure.
It was
a sentence structure.
It was both. But what I'm saying, just like the same of like ambiguity, like using it, just gets rid of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm replacing this sentence with this. Is anybody objective? Consider it an informal motion or informal capacity right now. Yeah, get rid of it.
Wait,
okay.
If the JCC.
Oh, jeez. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because the other thing was just the finality lies in the JCC is really broad. Okay, let's go back to debating timeline.
All right.
But what?
Let's go back to debating the timeline of how challenges are held and who submits which documents when, in what order, and who gets those documents.
Okay,
that's the debate.
Is that it?
Can you say beyond the minute?
No, it was like this allows us to have a discussion.
And at least like a majority of people are here.
Those people are just gonna say like yes. Like the difference is like we're.
I know.
Wait, Dale.
Yes.
No, I don't know if they're gonna do that.
I think they're gonna weigh out the decision based off of the vote.
All right. So what's going on?
Me and Varun are in agreement.
You're in agreement?
That we should keep talking.
All right, we'll keep talking then. So what's the problem here?
Sorry, bro.
So Varun thinks there's not enough time for everyone, right?
How much time?
No. Time as in like time to respond. Time to respond. Right?
So what I think is that the candidate should be given the opportunity to provide more information to the JCC because there might be more information revealed after the elections committee's appeals hearing.
And all I'm saying is that we should be able to respond to that.
Okay. So that
you should be able to respond to that.
Yeah, exactly. So at least like so many like.
I will say like the burger proof that like the candidate should have the last.
I would say the only reason why I disagree in some regard is just because somebody needs to be able to respond to it because the JCC acts as if that's fact. They unless they're going to be allowed to conduct this investigation that we all want to avoid, that we want to avoid.
So guys.
Can I just finish?
I think it's
not. No,
I'm
done. Like, it's just the fact that, like, you take that information as if it's fact. There's no questioning arguments to it.
But
and I well, that's why we moved. Wait, that's why we moved that part to talk about our process. Like, there were certain allegations in that document that just were just not true. But Kendall took them as fact.
So you have to take. Yeah. So.
That's the only reason why I'm saying that. Like, you have to give the elections committee as a body, just as people,
then it
a chance
like a
to respond.
Cycle, then
No.
Okay,
so
motion to do straw poll vote on this. I think everyone's like.
No, wait, straw poll vote on what?
Wait, so Gabe, talk.
Yeah. So I think I actually think that Travis is correct in this instance. Sorry, Bruno, and here's why. Because essentially, the candidate. The candidate is accusing the elections committee of being biased.
Yes.
And so in this case, essentially the elections committee is the defendant and the candidate is the accuser. And so I think that the elections committee should be able to review the material and basically say, oh no, we actually did follow like this procedure.
Okay, so 24 hours.
All right, so yeah, so I agree with that personally.
So we need to include language where when appealing to the JCC, the candidate can submit a new...
Gabe and Brown, can you guys listen to them?
So we need to put in language here to say that when appealing to the JCC, the candidate can submit a report to both the JCC and the Elections Committee, and the Elections Committee has 24 hours to submit a report in their defense to the JCC.
Yeah, either in their defense or to admit their mistakes that actually...
What would you have to
do?
It's a matter of
I
guess you could write that. Okay, but I just.
Well, I think that's pointless.
Didn't Travis just say 24 hours?
No, me and Varun were both saying, like, regardless, like, there is a. I was saying that in defense of, like when Varun is saying, like, these, like, things are being sent out and it was, like, 3-2, it's, like, really the first one is nobody. It's neither us, them. It's this independent party.
So you do agree that's
well, like, my thing is that if we keep drawing, like, this is my argument against that. It's, like, if we're not giving a 24 hours to the elections committee, that creates, like, potentially you may not know the results 72 hours post. Because like,
people
post
wait.
Results.
Yeah.
Point of inquiry is,
yeah, that's
is
fine.
That
I'm cool with it.
He said that everybody agreed with.
Sorry?
The language is basically keeping it as it is.
No.
It's not?
Like,
Varun wants another report, and then it's the elections committee can then respond to that report. Within 24
hours.
Oh,
so you want to add another step?
Yeah.
I think that's fair. Yeah.
All right, we agree.
Oh my God, yes!
Wait. So the candidate has 24 hours to then respond with their, what they may believe is not following procedure, but then the election committee has an additional 24 hours.
Yeah.
So then that's four periods of 24 hours.
So it's four, wow, that's a long time.
I think this
should be
exceptional circumstances.
Yeah,
right.
Yes. Oh, John. John has a floor.
Right. That's what
okay, but John has a floor.
What if, so in this instance, what if the candidate, if they bring in new information, then we see can the candidate done that.
Yes.
So why don't we specify that if the candidate brings in new information or makes an accusation of bias?
What are you talking about?
Is that in there?
Yes. No, so Dale's right here.
So like now the candidate is tracking procedures that aren't being followed throughout the process, and then they have one more say, and then the elections committee, because they're being accused of something, then can respond once more. But the candidate will always have the chance to write that within each, like, follow-up.
I also feel like 4 days feels like a long time, but I feel like these are also very exceptional circumstances.
Yeah, right, yeah. Motion to...
Hold on, can you give me like 2 more minutes?
Give him 2 more minutes.
Where else could anybody want to be?
Literally, so many seniors.
That was a sarcastic question.
It's too early to go
you
out.
Cut
out.
On.
Just enjoy the
yes,
meeting. Like, we're just missing dinner.
No, Zach, there's bigger things than dinner.
But it's too early to go out.
I was going to the Hawaii honor ceremony for graduating seniors.
Yeah, that's a pretty big deal.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
There's also finals to see.
Oh, come on.
Already?
Whoa.
It's like 3 weeks
in Monday. What are you talking about?
Yeah. The presentation Sunday.
I'm done with academics.
Okay, seniors, you don't count.
Cool.
That's on the record.
SA presidents. That's
a different thing about academics. I'm done.
Say, because of the student labor. Say that.
Can we vote?
No.
Oh, we're not done yet.
No, we still have to do Gabe's section, and that literally is
delicious.
Unless y'all all can let it go.
It's the party thing.
If you do Gabe's section next semester,
yeah, just do it.
Like that one.
When you're not here.
Yeah. I'll FaceTime you and Gabe.
What section?
I'll hang up.
Wait, what section?
The parties.
Next month. We can do that next month.
Parties.
The election, like, the fall.
Honestly, there should be a bigger review of, like, how it's worth at other universities.
Yeah, so Berkeley does that. UC Berkeley, it doesn't work that well.
But Berkeley is also on a whole other level.
It's huge, that's true.
And what's their voter turnout?
You want to talk?
Some reporter has something
to say. Wait, some reporter has something to say. Oh, you can be fortunate, it's fine. Yeah, why is that fortunate? Just ask.
Okay, so my question is, what does
infrared
decision?
So if the challenged person feels like the decision is not correct, then that's what they think is incorrect.
So it's not just procedural?
No,
it's not.
Well, it functionally is procedural because the election rules are their procedure. It's beyond procedures, like these are the laws. If the elections committee broke these rules, violation. As you said earlier, they have full interpretation power within the challenge hearing. So if they said the candidate violated this rule, the candidate can't say to the JCC, I didn't violate the rule. They could say the elections committee failed to follow the rules and find that I violated.
Okay, I get that.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
No, so we can possibly fix that.
I'm not trying to get, I'm just saying.
Yeah, we need to change the incorrect decision here.
I want to get out of here while I'm dead.
Yes,
Pam.
Okay, I
gotta
go.
Do I have
a word, Sam?
Good job, guys.
We're already an hour and a half late to something, so. Hey, everybody.
See you later.
Bye, guys.
Let's go.
Have a good rest of your year if I don't see you. Looking forward to doing my email about now.
See you on Sunday.
That's everyone.
Sick, bro. Okay. If a disqualified candidate believes the elections committee failed to correctly follow or enforce these election rules after the elections committee's reconsideration, they may request a review by the Judicial Codes Council within 24 hours after the election committee's reconsideration vote. The challenged candidate will submit to the JCC, the Office of the Assemblies, and the Director of Elections all original appear material that was previously submitted to the elections committee to the JCC, as well as any additional material and detailed failures of the elections committee to follow and enforce these election rules. The elections committee will submit all...
Wait. Detail, like, the department says, as well as any additional material that detail failures of the elections committee to follow and enforce the election rules following the reconsideration.
I think I think they should be allowed to submit any materials. Then the elections committee will submit all.
But they already have an opportunity.
But Travis, it'd be the same, Stephen.
Why? Like, if they discovered something else, like, you have a right as an individual, if the law was not enforced correctly, to bring up those details. The elections committee will submit all challenge reports pertaining to the candidate's appeal, as well as any additional materials refuting or agreeing with claims made by the challenge candidate to the JCC within 24 hours after the candidate appealed to the JCC.
Okay, you need to agree. Each time there's like a new substantial action, break it up so it's not like and then. Like,
I agree.
I agree with the Office of the Assemblies.
Who should be sitting down and shutting up? Because we're gonna be doing
you
all the time.
Oh,
like, what does this really mean?
Can we have an
another cost saving.
That is a different problem.
The elections committee just interpret.
Like, we have a clause because this is going to make it simpler if this does ever happen. If the elections committee at any point, like, can decide to concede to the candidate, say, like, yes, we did not actually follow our rules and we made a wrong decision. Like, they should have the ability to do that. I don't know if that's already in there.
It's not, like, already in there, but I would assume, like, of their own volition, you would say that.
Yeah.
I would hope.
Because this really sets it up for, like, a fight in the back and forth.
But I feel like this process is already so back. Like, you know what I mean?
Oh, I know. But I wouldn't have it in there that, like, I mean, the committee can have, like, there's a scenario that you could think about where someone thinks they just didn't read the rules correctly. Maybe it's an experienced committee, like, you can see that coming up. And then, like, they should be able to recognize that they made a mistake, and it shouldn't be, like, a horrible mistake.
What about this sentence that I just added and will highlight in a different color? How about blue? I like blue.
I like blue, too.
If the election committee agrees with the candidate's appeal, they may vote to overturn their decision before the JCC completes a full review. So that's what you said.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Whoa.
I like red.
How about we just stick with yellow?
Redact?
Who that?
What? So does everybody agree with
that? Question about Well, that's why you got that letter yesterday, Gabe, that said you've done over 160 hours of this.
I've done over 160 hours this week.
What?
May vote to overturn the decision by a vote of at least
7 No, by just a simple...
By a simple majority of it.
I think it should be a majority of the committee.
Believe
it. It's not that way.
The best election rule is yet.
By simple majority. Right?
That's right.
But Gabe, I can't hear.
The first. This is the second time I've like ever seen the essay.
All right.
Wow, the second time they've ever done it.
I'll survive the rest of the semester. Elections.
Has been great. I know.
Oh, if we're on Eddie Gate tomorrow,
what?
It's going to be fun.
Thank you for all you've done.
Thank you.
Ooh,
Be positive. Don't be a sellout. Stand up for what you believe.
Yeah, John, I still remember your convocation speech back.
Evan, I'll see you again. I'll see you on Sunday. Anyway.
Oh, yeah, Josh.
Oh, same, yeah.
Remember?
Yeah. I still remember. I was on a nice big bench.
Yeah.
John Goose talks about
transfer, yeah.
Alicia, does this calm your fears?
I had no fears, I had a question.
That's a good answer.
That's a good.
What's the question, Alicia?
Yeah, we fixed the language up here.
You're having too much fun with that mic.
Oh my God, after me and I have the mic, it's ridiculous. I'll sing sometimes. No.
Can we vote? Motion to vote?
Like wait, we have a question. Thinking. Wait, is the question pertaining to this?
No,
the
question was earlier.
The answer to the question first.
What are you?
Motion to vote!
Take it!
All those in favor!
I'll take it. Wait, what about Gabe's thing?
Motion to vote by unanimous consent.
Do you have any other...
Second!
What's that, do you vote?
I mean, honestly, like, this is...
What?
These rules will pick in a
second.
Include
you, okay?
All right.
11-0 passes.
Yay!
Oh, this amendment.
There's one more thing.
One more.
Gabe's thing.
No.
Next semester.
No political parties. Yes!
The meeting has been adjourned. Thank you for such a wonderful year of service with all the ups and downs. I enjoyed it.
2018 out.
And thank you to Pam for giving us all this food and for all the preparations that she's done for us. Thank you so much.
They go eat first.
All right.
I'd rather show up late than
for 4 years.
Where is it?
Biotech.
I mean,
that's
maybe,
it,
let's go.
Steve.
This
is monumental.
I just say, like, what was that?
This is monumental. This is your last SA meeting.
But the UA meeting is on Tuesday, and then other meetings.
Leadership breakfast Monday morning.
Yeah, leadership breakfast.
Dan Hunk.
The Cornell Tech, the Cornell Tech Dean, hold on, don't.
It's never over. Are you going to turn the recording off? Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
I can do that.
Dale, are you done?
We're done.
Are you done typing in there?
Yeah, I'm done. Are you?